It's Friday!
Okay! Tokyo!
South America!
Australia!
France!
Germany!
UK!
Africa!
Here we go! Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation cussing and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, crmw.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. And here we go, off and running on this 16th day of December 2022. This is The Horn. HeadOn.live is where you'll find us on the interweb tubes. That's where you go if you'd like to be part of the merry, wacky, zany, real-time, multimedia, madcap extravaganza that is The Horn chat room in the 3 hours in which this program is live, Monday through Friday, 5 to 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 2 to 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all times in between, and the great globe round, and whatever time it is when you're listening to the podcast. Thanks so much for listening to the podcast and for listening to the live program and for listening wherever it is that you listen to this program, however it is that you listen to this program. This is a unique and special, dare I say, broadcast community. I don't think you're likely to find the likes of it much of anywhere else on either side of the political aisle. And it means so much to have so many people be part of it. So, anyway, if you do pop by the chat room, you'll be greeted by early arrivers Anatole and Irish Dave and Kid Mark and Squeaky, and capably moderated by longtime inveterate, indefatigable veteran chat room moderator Sparky, who, although he is a third stage guild navigator, has declined to fold space to become Man Cave. Hi, I'm Robin, and pretty pleased, as we've been asking, because, well, Brother Deacon Asa asked me to start doing this, and Brother Deacon Asa pays attention to things like algorithms and whatnot and so forth. Wherever and however you listen to this program, whether it be Podbean or Spotify or Stitcher or TuneIn or Apple Podcasts, Lord, there's a million different ways to get the program. Most of them are listed. I mean, not a million. Come on. But most of them can be found if you go browsing around at headon.live. But when you're listening on one of these platforms, click the thumbs up or the heart or the like or, you know, whatever it is, because algorithms are only as good as the people who write them, among other things, folks. Lee in New York taught me that a while back, and I took it to heart. They are not independent actors. They are not truly AI, but the fact of the matter is they only see activity if they are drawn to it. So the more people like and the more people love and the more people thumbs up, then the more likely it is that we move up in the rankings or whatever it is and get to reach potentially more people who want to participate in the community, because, you know, it's obviously there's no PR budget, can't pay anybody to talk about how wonderful we are. So that's what we've got going for us. So if you would do that, it would be tremendously helpful. And of course, every program at The Horn begins with gratitude, and this program is no different. So thanks go out to our 16th day of the month subscribers. And that means thank you so very much for this particular day to our buddy Zed. Thank you, Zed, in Iowegia. And thank you to Mark. And thank you to Reinhardt over there on the Virginia coast. Thank you to David in Oregon, formerly of San Diego. Thanks all for being part of the reason this program remains on the air. And special thanks to our anonymous friend who has done two, count them, have a show on Mies to get us down to a fundraising goal, an entirely manageable fundraising goal for this Friday on the front porch of $550. That's really doable, hopefully. So maybe we can get there. It would be wonderful if we could, because the next bill we're sweating, it's the same bills everybody else has, but it seems like ours just, they run a little different, I guess, but when you live in the land of cheap coal-fried electricity, and the weather turns cold, it stops being quite so cheap. So by the day after Christmas, I've got to pay $800 to Appalachian Power because, among other things, we heat this place with space heaters because there is no furnace. And that sucks up a lot of electricity. It really and for truly does. That and the fact that there's an electric water heater, etc. We run a refrigerator, but it's horrifying. And Appalachian Power has this long-standing history of passing on their bad business decisions to the rubes, ratepayers. And there we go. So we're looking at that, and somewhere along the way, I'd like to be able to buy my medication, because I'm uninsured. Got a note from Randy Radar. Happy birthday to Randy Radar's dad. It's Mr. Radar's 93rd birthday. And a very, very happy birthday to him. And I hope you're able to spend some time with him and really make it quality time, Randy. I don't upload anything to Apple, Randy. I upload to Podbean, and I upload to White Rose Society. And I think whether it's Apple Podcast or Stitcher or Spotify, they all pick it up from Podbean. And so if there was a program on December 2nd, and God, what was that? That was 14 whole days ago. Let me see. There was a Friday on the front porch, and so I uploaded it. I know for a fact I did. I can look in the, and this is just wandering around in the weeds. Let me see here. Brother Deacon Asa, was there a program on the 2nd? I don't think we've missed a Friday on the front porch in a while. I could be wrong, but let me see here. So that would be... Yeah, it got uploaded. Because I'm looking at it in the recycle bin, which is where it goes. I don't know. Brother Deacon, if you could... if you could help a girl out, I'd appreciate it. Maybe we'll get an answer. And thank you very kindly to Lady B. Lady B got us started just now. And so that means we're down to $530 to go in fundraising. Lady B says, have a good show. Happy birthday to Randy Radar's dad. 93 is your father sharing his blessings. treasure it. And P.S., I was wrong about Nancy. She's stellar and a badass bitch. She says she's a workhorse, not a show horse. I look forward to her daughter's documentary. That's what comes of being a grown-up politically. You understand you're not going to be in complete agreement with any given politician, but you hope that maybe you can agree with them most of the time and trust them to try to do the right thing. And for the most part, that's where I am with Nancy Pelosi. And like I said, I think in a couple of years' time, we're going to miss her. And we will not see her like again. It was the darndest thing. They unveiled Nancy Pelosi's portrait, which will hang in the Capitol. And it's a lovely portrait. She's holding the gavel. She's wearing a red suit. The painter who did the portrait just recently passed away. He really captured her essence and her style and her spirit. But at the unveiling, Kevers McCarthy was not there for Nancy's remarks because he said he had meetings. because he's Kevers McCarthy, man of silly putty. But you know who was there? John Boehner, of all people. And the time away from government seems to have done John Boehner some good. Boehner is famously emotional, and he got choked up when he was talking about what a worthy opponent and decent and civil person Nancy had always been as long as he had known her. And said, by the way, Madam Speaker, my daughters said I absolutely had to tell you they said hi. My daughters are Democrats, if you couldn't guess. And it just kind of led me to wonder, how can a young woman be anything but? I'm just trying to, but I mean, they're out there. These young women who aspire to be trad wives to giga chads, I guess, and treat their uteruses like clown cars and whatever, but that ain't John Boehner's daughters. Stephen, New York notes, I tried to buy a Trump icon, but they were all sold out. Maybe next year. And that reminds me of something that Brother Deacon Asa said yesterday. You best believe I'm a swing for one of them Trump NFTs. That sumbitch is going to set historic records for how crooked a U.S. president can be. Those NFTs are going to be worth something someday. Right. I get it. Right? Really? You got $99 laying around that you couldn't spend on rot gut tequila or badass Jim Beam. $99 probably a lot of Jim Beam. Wouldn't make you feel near as shitty as owning one of those NFTs, Brother Deacon. Okay. So for some reason or another, and I know not what, upload for December 2nd is missing from Podbean, so thanks for bringing that to my attention, Randy. I'll get it uploaded for some reason. I'll get it uploaded. I do the same thing every evening, and sometimes the magic works, and sometimes it doesn't. Isn't that what Grandfather told Little Big Man in the movie of the same name? Okay, that's crude, Steve, and I agree with you. And for that reason, I'm not going to start the program that far into the gutter, if you don't mind. So, and by the way, it's Friday on the Front Porch. If you would like to participate in Friday on the Front Porch, all you got to do is go to headon.live and click the button that says click here, and it'll carry you over the river and through the woods to the old holler tree where we keep this where we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable. You can be a part anytime you choose. We'll get that all started here in about 45 minutes or so. But where to start this evening? Let's see. And by the way, the stupid NFTs, it just as an indication of whatever their volume was, P.T. Barnum, yeah. Well, they're sold out. Really, they're sold out. And that tells me something about how many stupid people there are in the United States. It is a number equal to the number of NFTs that got sold. Right. So there's that. Steve in New York pointing out, $99. I'd rather spend that on a photo of Jake Gyllenhaal's legendarily large endowment. You, Steve, you're trying to drag this program into the gutter despite my best efforts. What are we going to do with you? Of course, then again, you know, it's a free country. Matt in San Francisco says, subject line, Nancy. I just watched Pelosi in the House on HBO. It's very well done. I came away with an even deeper appreciation for what she's accomplished. I agree that in time people will miss having a competent leader. And no, she's not far enough left for me. But she is a badass. And just one more reason to be a proud third-generation San Franciscan. Well, you know, San Francisco knows a badass woman when they see one, so they didn't hold being from Baltimore against her. And, of course, I guess she learned her chops from her daddy, raised in the greater Charm City area. Yeah. From one coast and one bay to another. Chesapeake Bay to San Francisco Bay. Yeah, Ralphs, I know, same. What? The Trump NFTs are sold out? I know. By the way, I had a conversation earlier today with the one and only Tara Devlin. And we were talking about it really would be a good idea to come out with a series of, Trump as the 12 Caesars bunch of T-shirts. She agreed with me when I said, all we got to do is find one celebrity to wear it onto a talk show, and they'll sell like hotcakes. I guess hotcakes really do sell. And Christopher in Oregon says, orange NFT, I prefer orange HIC. I see. What to do with my $99? Tough decision between purchasing a Naranja nincompoop NFT or get my car painted by Earl Scheib, Donnie Orange. Oh, cruel world. What to do? And you know, that's one of the lingering sad after effects of Nitwit Nero. He's ruined the color orange for a lot of us. I have, for instance, and since Steve's been trying so hard, well, let me just go ahead and do it. As a result of what happened a year ago and the therapy that I've had to maintain on a daily or sometimes several times daily basis, I have some appliances, and they range in size from 1 1/4 inch in diameter to 1 1/2 inch in diameter. The first one is purple, 1 1/4. Then it goes to 1 1/8 is purple, and then blue is 1 1/4, and then green is 1 3/8, and damned if the 1.5-inch one isn't orange. You're gonna think I'm insane, but these things are a set of these is given to every woman who goes through gender confirmation surgery. And it comes from a company called SoulSource. And I actually wrote to SoulSource saying, "Dear SoulSource, as a result of the association of the color orange with the incredibly transphobic occupant of the White House from 2017 to 2021, I gotta tell you, that 1.5-inch appliance is triggering. Let's work on some new colors. How about pink?" And I swear, if they bring out a pink, I'll get it, just to be able to be done with that orange. And again, I'm trying not to go into too graphic a detail, but orange. And it's such a shame because, you know, orange popsicles, you know, orange dreamsicles, oranges. And they're all, to a certain degree, greater or lesser, negatively impacted by the existence of Julius Geezer. Orange Julius Geezer. Thinking about that earlier today, because a friend of mine posted in our high school graduating class page about running across a photo of the old Orange Julius store in the mall where most of us spent a lot of our leisure activity some 40-plus years ago. Orange Julius Geezer. Never mind. That really wasn't where the program was going to get started. No. There's polling data out that has Nitwit Nero throwing an absolute conniption. Like there's anything new about that. He went on his dodgy, sketchy, falling apart social media platform to complain that the Wall Street Journal is being unfair to me, so unfair, believe me. They published a poll that isn't even, like, really a poll, because if it was a real poll, it would show that 102% of Americans want me to be president again. But instead, it shows that I'm badly trailing Ron Monkey Up DeClantis for the Republican nomination for president in 2024. And, I mean, it's true. He's down by almost 20 points, perhaps more, in comparison with Ron Monkey Up DeClantis. So I'm still hoping that maybe my theory proves true and we get a Republican primary of... And you know what? Liz Cheney could go ahead and say that her running mate's going to be Adam Kinzinger. He's not going to have much to do. Might need something to get him out of the House. And the two can just barnstorm America during the Republican primaries and just hammer Nitwit Nero day in and day out. Stoke the stroke, Liz. Come on, girl. And then, of course, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis will be hammering at him from the fascist neo-Nazi right, because after all, Ron Monkey Up DeClantis was up first. His first election as governor of Florida was only by the assistance of real live, no kidding, Nazis. I think that could be highly entertaining. And then, you know, only at the Republican National Convention does Liz Cheney say, "Done now." Just like the end of, There Will Be Blood? Daniel Day-Lewis? Done now. Yeah. Oh, well, okay. Thank you for those encouraging words, Steve. Your insanity, I'm pretty sure most of the community have been thinking you're insane for far before your transition. You're probably not wrong. Well, you know, when I even get to Brother Deacon Asa, I know. Oh, Jesus, too much information already. No, damn it. God! for all the crap you send me? Yeah. And I was very circumspect in my description. Way off. But not only did Nitwit Nero flip out about the poll numbers, he also flipped out about Jack Smith, because Jack Smith has hit the ground running as the special counsel, and he's already subpoenaed state and local officials in all seven of the so-called battleground states where Nitwit Nero and his minions... Hi!
Do not pick on Brother Asa.
He was picking on me.
Do not pick on Brother Asa.
I won't. They sent us a lovely Christmas card.
Yes, they did. I love you guys.
The boys are just growing like weeds. What handsome lads.
Yes, they are.
Yes, they are.
So now you know.
Yeah, okay. Yes. Thank you. Thank you, dear.
Reading Rainbow.
Yes. She came all the way back here to defend Brother Deacon Asa. Okay. But anyway, Jack Smith is sending out subpoenas to all seven states where Nitwit Nero and his minions tried to overturn the Constitution of the United States. By the way, Mike Lindell, Mr. Meth Pillow, is back on Twitter again because freedom? And I think his first tweet was, melt down the voting machines. Melt them down. Yeah. So with the subpoenas flying around, Nitwit Nero said,
the Eric Holder Obama disciple, special prosecutor Jack Smith, he's no Jack Smith, has found nothing that I've done wrong or differently than other presidents on the boxes hoax raid of Mar-a-Lago, including the fact that presidents are protected under the Presidential Records Act, the Clinton Sox case, and more. Now Smith is snooping around the perfect phone call I made to the Georgia Secretary of State challenging the corrupt presidential election results. My absolute right to do.
Which leads us back to a reference to Miss Nancy. Miss Nancy sat down for an interview with CNN and Jamie Gangel, and decided she was not going to mince any words. I found it, well, refreshing.
What are you going to have?
I think I would get dumplings.
I'm sorry, I'm late. Hot and sour soup. That's what I was going to have.
Okay.
Nice bowl of soup on a cold day.
There you go.
You actually first met at a meal like this in 1987.
Okay. Wait, what is it about... You know, I can always find a way to make a reference to my favorite comedy of the late 20th century, The In-Laws, with Peter Falk and the first time I heard that clip, it was like, wait a minute, this is from The In-Laws. You know that scene in the deli in New York? Where Peter Falk and Alan Arkin are discussing matters that have recently transpired. And Peter Falk tells Sheldon Cornpet, you know, Alan Arkin, crumble up some crackers in the soup. It'll absorb the grease. Stop with the soup! And when I first heard Chuck Schumer say, "Cold winter day, nice day for a cup of soup, hot soup,"
Oh, my God. The Senate Majority Leader is mild-mannered Manhattan dentist Sheldon Cornpet.
What are you going to have?
I think I would get dumplings.
I'm sorry, I'm late. Hot and sour soup. That's what I was going to have.
Okay.
Nice bowl of soup on a cold day.
There you go.
You actually first met at a meal like this in 1987.
Okay. And it's like January. And George Miller, who was my roommate, my landlord, he said, there's a new person joining our group. Her name is Nancy Pelosi. She's the new Congress member from San Francisco. And before I met her, she will become the first woman speaker. That's what he said. God's honest truth.
He was right.
But what was interesting about
it... She didn't know I was right.
You really knew the first time.
I knew she would really be a force.
Whatever that might be.
Yeah, would you like to put some appetizers?
So I'll have an order of shrimp dumplings.
Okay.
And then I'll have some string beans.
Talk to me about your relationship. The two of you finish each other's sentences. You're on the phone constantly.
415-730, and I'm not going to say the last four.
No, please.
You know everybody's phone number.
My person. I probably dial hers more than just about anyone other than people in my family.
Well, here's the thing. I say this all the time. He has a, what do you call that phone?
Flip phone.
A flip phone. If he had a regular smartphone, we could reduce the number of conversations because I could just text him.
How would you describe your relationship? You're called the power couple. You're called an odd couple.
Yeah, we're close friends. It's
your
almost
friends.
Like brother and sister.
That's
bit.
Right.
When you disagree, who wins?
Usually her.
No, no. When we disagree, then we end the conversation.
Yeah.
And we know we're going to come
we
back.
We had a pretty tough one a week ago, right? What was it?
What was it about?
I don't even remember.
I don't remember what it was, but
it was,
shall we say, candid.
Candid, yes.
I want to talk about how the two of you navigated working with former President Trump. Because
we had a good time.
he famously nicknamed the two of you Chuck and Nancy, right? It was always Chuck and Nancy. I think you both knew that Speaker Pelosi got under his skin. Right?
Yes.
Was there a strategy when you went into a meeting? Was there a good cop, bad cop?
He's just inaugurated. This is an historic moment.
Damn it, Jamie. Don't ask him to give away the secrets. And for God's sakes, this is just a tiny little radio program. Don't tell the world about Stoke the Stroke.
President of the United States. So I'm thinking... How is he going to begin? Is he going to quote the Constitution, American history, poet, the Bible? You know I won the popular vote.
That's how he started.
And I said, Mr. President, that's just not true.
We sort of set him up instinctively. We didn't plan this. Everyone thought we planned it out. It was about the government shutdown. The first time. And Nancy said something to him about he didn't understand about women. So, what?
Chuck was masterful.
Well,
he was masterful.
She set him up so I could go in for the kill.
No, but he was masterful. He's talking to him about the government shutdown and about immigrants and the rest. And he says, I'll take ownership of the shutdown.
I said, so, Mr. President, will you own the shutdown? Yes, I will. And that was, thank you very much.
There are a series of moments that you saw firsthand. There's the clap, there's tearing up the speech, and then there is the famous picture. It's the meeting in the cabinet room where you stood up and confronted. Looking back at those moments.
Yeah, that photo is so iconic. I mean, she is standing up, and all the old white men are just sitting there cowering. She's standing up. She's got that finger pointed right at him. No wonder he hates her so much.
What was going through your mind?
I said, he doesn't stand a chance. He doesn't know what he's up against. I tell people, Nancy instinctively knew how to handle Trump because for her first, 35, 40 years of life. She raised five children, and she knew how to deal with children. And that's what helped her deal with Trump, because he ultimately was a child.
We had a different approach. Chuck is a New Yorker.
Brooklyn.
So they spoke their own kind of, they understood each other.
January 6th, there is extraordinary footage of the two of you being evacuated. What was it like that day?
It was horrible. I mean, it was a horrible time. And
it's frightening. People are invading the Capitol. We were both worried that our own members, the senators in my Senate, the people in her House, what was happening to them, because they whisked us off to this other place. For a while, cell phone service didn't happen, and it was just frightening.
Did you try to reach out to the president himself?
Yes, they wouldn't put him on. The attorney general, the acting, I think he was acting attorney general, he wouldn't put him on.
He wouldn't take your calls?
President wouldn't, that's correct.
I think you see in some of the film how firm Chuck was with, when we're calling the governors, the mayors, the secretary, and when we were talking to the secretary of the army, the attorney general. Secretary of the Army was supposed, it's really a tragedy that they did not send the National Guard earlier.
They were sort of afraid to act. Trump had so intimidated everybody, you could never tell him the truth, you could never go contradict him. Have some Peking duck, it's good. I'm eating too much.
There's a CNN poll that just came out that shows there's little appetite on both sides for a Biden-Trump rematch in 2024. You're stepping aside. Do you think President Biden should step aside?
Oh, for God's sake. We've been over this. We've been over this. Should President Biden, the single most progressive president this country has ever known in its history, short of maybe FDR, but this member, Jamie Gangel of the multimillionaire for-profit media, wants to know if President Biden should step aside. Good God. That's a way to guarantee a Republican in the White House, by the way, in case anybody's wondering.
I think President Biden has done an excellent job as President of the United States. I hope that he does seek re-election.
Look at what he's accomplished.
Should run again?
Yeah, he's done an excellent, excellent job. And he runs, I'm going to support him all the way.
Right now, Donald Trump is the only Republican.
I know. Neither of those people are nearly anywhere sufficiently ideologically pure. But that's how it's done. You get behind your president, you stay behind your president, you don't waffle, you don't say, well, maybe, yes, sort of, whatever. I think he should run, and I will be there when he does. Oh, there's a little bit of Jack Kennedy in there, isn't there? Ew. We go to the moon not because it is easy, but because it is hard. But really, that's how you do it. And he has done a phenomenal job. And if you want to turn him into Jimmy Carter, sure, somebody run against him. Somebody primary him. I hope people are listening.
Republican who has announced he could be the nominee. He could be president again. You've been through the first presidency. You've been through January 6th. What would it mean if Donald Trump was reelected president?
I don't think it'll happen. The American people have gotten wise to him. Took a little while, but they did.
I don't think that we should talk about him while we're eating.
See?
Really? Another Trump presidency?
You call Donald Trump, quote, insane.
I think there's a need for an intervention there by his family or somebody.
Bingo. I know. I'm going to catch hell for being such a little fangirl. But how can you not respect somebody who just speaks the daggum obvious truth? I think so. There's a need for somebody in his family to do something. There's a need there for an intervention. He's selling wrestling superhero NFTs at $99 a pop. And by the way, I checked while the video was running. Yeah, that latest poll, he is down 23 points to Ron Monkey up to Klantis. Now, that doesn't mean I think he should know. I think in the end, he may very well chicken out because he does not wish to be humiliated in the primaries, and the bluster and the bravado isn't going to carry him anymore. He's completely lost in it. He's lost the thread. But of course, you, me, we, us, we've been talking about him not being in control of his own faculties since practically the very beginning of his presidency, because there's been so much evidence of that fact. How many conversations here did we have here about Section 4 of the 25th Amendment? About the mechanism by which it didn't happen because the cabinet was filled with craven bootlicks and lick spittles. But the mechanism by which a president may be removed for being sold American, gone. That's the pull quote from this entire interview. He needs an intervention. He needs a Thorazine dart in the side of the neck, but that's too much to hope for. He's so crazed and starved for attention, he'll sit down with literal Nazis in an attempt to get the spotlight on him. Oh, by the way, there is evidence out now that the artist known as The has been talking about his abiding admiration for Adolf Hitler. I'm talking, about Yidolf. For at least 2 years. So there's that. But let's go back and just kind of cherish that moment again.
If Donald Trump was reelected president.
I don't think it'll happen. The American people have gotten wise to him. Took a little while, but they did.
I don't think that we should talk about him while we're eating.
See?
Really? Well, another Trump presidency?
You call Donald Trump, quote, insane. I think there's a need for an intervention there by his family or somebody. You know, I don't think he's on the level, no.
I don't think he's on the level. How many other euphemisms are there? A few bulbs short of a chandelier, a couple of sandwiches shy of a picnic. The golden escalator. Don't go all the way to the top. His clock ain't properly wound. And I'm sure with that quote but Paul Pelosi. Well, the body cam video got released a couple of days ago because, what's his name, DePape? Yeah, he got, he had his preliminary hearing. And the footage was played, and the officer is seen to say, or heard to say, "Drop the hammer now." And DePape, in turn, and they ask Paul Pelosi, "Do you know this guy?" And he goes, "Nope." "Drop the hammer now." "Nope. Not gonna happen." And to the extent that we like for members of law enforcement not to be homicidal, the fact that they didn't blow this dude to kingdom come, we got to be careful that we're not running around on a bunch of double standards. Because the fact that they did not blow him to kingdom come means that we get to learn more about him. We get to learn more about his motivation. And his motivation was that it was pure maggot babbling about how shabbily Trump had been treated. But maybe by not having blown him away, we can learn a little bit more. And speaking of which, you know, homicidal maniacs. And you're right, Randy Radar. Randy Radar says Trump's pronouns are, oddly enough, I, me. Not far off. Yep, Darlene in Connecticut. More like Teddy, Robin. Yes, and Nancy is a boss. She is. And, you know, I'm kind of looking forward to, not looking forward to, but January 3rd is going to be interesting. Not because anybody's going to be massed outside the Capitol to run inside and take a poop on the rotunda floor and finger paint with it or anything like the maggots do. But because Kevers, man of silly putty McCarthy, well, the people who are opposed to his speakership seem not to be budging. And he's getting perilously close to not having 5 votes to give in his desperate bid. It's all he's ever wanted. He just wants to be Speaker of the House. He just wants the gavel. He doesn't give a fuck about America. He just wants... You know, it's... I don't know. It's the political version of a little blue pill for Kevers. But like I said, you know, I agree with Nancy. There needs to be an intervention. Probably won't be. But another piece of news hit the interwebs today. Came from the Daily Beast. And it has to do with Anderson Lee Aldrich. And at least the Daily Beast has stopped with this, or at least during in portions of their reporting have stopped this charade of buying into the pettifogging lawyers, pettifogging, and referring to Anderson Lee Aldrich with they, them. But the Daily Beast has discovered that a year before Andy walked into Club Q and started slaughtering people and wounding others and winding up facing some 305 felony counts, well, that previous year, after all the business with the bomb threats and everything, he was arrested. The charges were of kidnapping his grandparents and that he had stockpiled explosives and had been talking about his plans to become the next mass killer before the SWAT teams showed up. Well, the Associated Press got hold of court documents from the appearance by Anderson Aldrich before Judge Robin Chittum. In that hearing, Judge Chittum told Anderson Aldrich, quote, "You clearly have been planning for something else. It didn't have to do with your grandma or grandpa." And then, lo and behold, the something else happened as November the 19th turned to November the 20th. And the family, the reason there was no prosecution was because the family refused to prosecute him. Defense attorneys made a motion to dismiss. The court granted it. because the state couldn't put on the necessary evidence to secure a conviction. So this adds even more weight to the argument that what happened at Club Q was entirely preventable, and that responsibility for Club Q lands squarely on the shoulders of Anderson Aldrich, but it also lands on the shoulders of the sheriff of El Paso County, Colorado, its county commission, and everybody in its Republican government. Colorado's red flag laws could have been engaged, and he could have been stopped a year before he did anything at Club Q. He pulled the trigger, but the sheriff of El Paso County, Colorado, made goddamn sure that he had the trigger to pull. And make no mistake, that's evil. The fact that El Paso County, Colorado, decided that it was going to be a sanctuary city, not for human beings, but for guns. If such a thing were possible, that sheriff should be recalled. Every Republican office holder who ever said a positive word about a sanctuary city for guns, or not using the red flag law, the tool that was given them to prevent such things as what happened at Club Q, every one of them should be driven from government and, frankly, driven from decent society and the presence of decent human beings. Being Republicans, I'm sure they wake up in the morning and they have their breakfast and they go about their business and they come home at night and they have their dinner and they go to bed and they never once look at all the blood that covers every square millimeter of their Republican bodies. The blood of innocence. Late last year, Judge Robin Chittum got a letter from Aldrich's grandparents saying that he was certain to commit murder if he was freed. But Judge Chittum dismissed the charges. Because the family wouldn't prosecute. If you are a loved one of someone injured or killed in that attack, how can you possibly read these articles and not simply howl in furious outrage? Meanwhile, in breaking news, Robert Cremo Jr. has been charged with reckless conduct in relationship to the July 4th parade slaughter in Illinois, because he helped his homicidal son get the gun permit necessary to obtain the firearm with which he ended the universe for 7 people in Illinois on the 4th of July. Good. Prosecute him to the fullest extent of the law. I don't want to hear anything about ankle monitors. I want him going straight to Joliet. It is Joliet, isn't it? My Illinois friends. At least I guess it used to have been. Basing that on my understanding of the Blues Brothers movies, so take that for what you will. But it's a step forward. Also a step forward. The fact that what is it? Five cops in Louisiana Stan have actually been charged in the murder of a young black man who, of course, had done not a damned thing. It ain't necessarily everything, but it's something. Oh, and I had a lovely note from Jessica up in Minnesota. For the Horn Family Congregation, yesterday marked the start of my 46th orbit around the G2V celestial object known as Sol. In celebration, I'm going to give a present to you, Robin, in the form of a $10 donation to the show, and I'd like anybody else who has $5 and wants to join in the observance to likewise donate. It would be a wonderful present to me, knowing we were able to boost the operating fund a bit. So, thank you. Thank you, Jessica. Thank you so much. And here's to a wonderful coming year around that little sort of low-rent star we orbit. It's at almost any distance at all. It's so faint as to be almost invisible. Thank you, Jessica. So, say happy birthday to Jessica with a little, you know, with $5, and that'll get us down below 5:30. Well, so that gets us down to 5:20, and maybe we can get down below 500, and I can start thinking about the power bill. Flavio says, "I'm for Biden running again. I have nothing against Biden. Let him run again, but the mainstream media is boosting Monkey up, and that's my point. It's disgusting how the media is boosting DeSantis. They're making it about horse races, and that's always icky, gross. Press treats DeSantis' assault on public health as a horse race story from Crooks and Liars." Yeah. And for-profit media gonna for-profit media. It's a cop-out on my part, I'm sure. It would be nice if they would stop doing that, but even the intrepid reporters don't go out there and do intrepid reporting and come back and say, "Ah, boss, I got a hot one," and the boss says, "Well, run with it." No, our multimillionaire for-profit media is strictly a top-down affair, and so consequently, what the suits want, the suits get. And what the suits want is horse race coverage. They want races that are so close that everybody is right there on the edge of their seats on election night and every day and night before, waiting with bated breath to see if we've got a fighting chance at maintaining civilization or if a Republican's going to get into office. Note coming in from Lady B. "I'm not going to cape for Liz Cheney until Trump suffers some sort of punishment. After years of screwing over the poor and trying to deny us health care, she has a lot to atone for. Sure, she lost her seat, but so what? She chose to dance with the devil, and after a while, he changed partners. And yes, she worked to punish Trump, but he's still free. You don't get brownie points for an attempt, not when it comes to people's lives. She's got her whole life to fulfill her come-to-Jesus moment. She can work at a soup kitchen or write big checks to charity. But for me, it's going to take a while. She's got a lot more work to do to redeem herself. Again, when Trump gets punished, she'll get redemption. But she's going to have to do a lot of work to undo the damage her fucking party has done to the soul of this country. I'm right there with you. In fact, I think it probably pissed some people off that I am right there with you. Because we're supposed to applaud her for with not just a little golf clap, but with thunderous ovations for doing the absolute least a member of Congress can do, that is, honor her oath to the Constitution. And while I appreciate what she's doing, she is doing the bare minimum, and it's only news because the other Republicans, for the most part, cannot or will not. I think we're on the same ground, Lady B. So, with that having been said, we are at the top of the hour. Wait a minute. I'm not. Which murderous son of a bitch are you talking about, Brother Deacon Ace? I'm looking at a picture here of some fifths of 100-proof Rittenhouse bottled in bond rye, which used to be my favorite cheap and cheerful. That murderer son of a bitch is merchandising now. Rittenhouse rye? Gonna need a little detail there. So, like I said, we are past the top of the hour by a couple of minutes. And I've just... Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Kyle Rittenhouse. It was a feeble attempt at humor, Brother Deacon says. Well, see, it would have been funny if I didn't have... If I didn't have the pre-existing reference to... Rittenhouse Rye. And that was what got me all excited, because I haven't seen it in years. Don't know where you found it, Brother Deacon, but you better snatch up a couple of bottles, because as rye whiskey goes, I don't know if it's still cheap and cheerful, but it was back then. That's some good stuff. So let's run over to the old holler tree that we sublet from the Keebler Elves, where we keep the Extraordinary Ordinary Roundtable, and check in with Sparky. Hey, Sparky, how are you?
I'm good. Great to be back home again.
Where you been?
You didn't know I went to the gold country last week.
Well, I heard something about it, but I didn't get any details.
Parts of the gold country, anyway.
Sutter's Mill and the like?
Yeah, in Coloma. Got to know the towns. Coloma, Georgetown, Garden Valley, El Dorado, Apple Valley. I went all over the place.
Sounds fun. Did you have company?
Saw a lot of... Yes, I did.
Wonderful.
Had a guide. And Grady went with me, and he had... And an 8-month-old golden lab to play with.
Little yellow lab puppies are like little tiny bears.
Well, he's bigger than Grady.
At 8 months old?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'll put a picture in the chat.
Okay. So how long were you gone?
I left Tuesday and came back Monday.
Wow, that was a full-on... I mean, that was a week-long road trip.
Pretty much, except when I got there, I never had to drive anymore. I traveled around the country in a Mercedes SUV.
Well, somebody's moving on up in the world.
It's a 2012. It's an older one. But it got us around.
Yeah, I'm guessing the wheels weren't like about to wobble off the axles or anything.
No, she has it serviced and stuff. She was taking it into the dealer when I left Monday for some reason. But I got to meet some strange characters. Got to go around to a lot of antique shops because she's an antique dealer. Went to this one place in, the hell was the name of that place? Dry Town. It was an old theater. And the whole building was stuffed with mementos from the movie industry. The guy was in the movie industry. All right, Jamie. Jeremy, I'll tell him. Her, rather.
Thank you. I take it the ride got a little enjoyable, exciting, thrilling.
Well, Sparky, what was the name of that theater?
I don't know what the name of the theater. He just told me it was an old theater.
Oh, you know,
it's in an old mining town. It's called Dry Town.
Okay,
I don't even know when it was built. It's real old.
Yeah, all right. I misunderstood you.
But there's I'll put a map of the gold country up in the chat too. But you can see where I was, Placerville area mostly, around Placerville. Up and down hills and around twisty, turny roads. Saw a lot of deer, a lot of wild turkeys, a few jackrabbits.
My neighborhood.
Yeah, you got a lot of deer at your place?
No, just wild turkeys.
Oh. Well, you know where Garden Valley is?
Yes, sort of. Been through it once.
There's a lot of deer in that area. I mean, we went to a lot of about two or three breweries. There's one little brewery out in the middle of nowhere, right at the bottom of the hill where you go up to her house. It's called the Brahm. B-A-R-M Haas Brewing Company. Middle of nowhere, Garden Valley, California. I got a 16-ounce can of one of their beers. Most of these places had little sampling glasses they'd let you taste before you buy. Went to the Highway 50 brewery. I can't believe the number of vineyards over there. It's the gold country, wine country, I guess it would be. And the guy that owns Sig Sauer rifles or guns had a huge winery over there. But we didn't go to any wineries for wine tastings because neither one of us drank wine. I caught a buzz on some craft beer at a place called Poor Reds in El Dorado. It was quite a joint. It had two bar elevations. And the bartender was between the lower elevation and the upper elevation. She had high-end drinks up to you where we were sitting.
We're members of two winery clubs here.
Well, I know I didn't see them all. Drive by them. Out in the middle of nowhere, drive by a wine tasting right here. At Highway 50 Brewery, and it was right off the freeway there. They had one end of the building had beer, and the other end of the building had wine.
Multitasking.
But it surprised me how many breweries there were and wineries over there. I didn't know that.
Yep, wine country.
When you say wine country, most people think of the Napa Valley.
Yep, but we're getting famous too.
There, I added that map.
So, I mean, that's... You know, I am famously ignorant of California geography. How many miles did you... Okay, that helps. There's a graphic. So you covered it. You covered a fair bit of territory.
Yeah, and every day. We were almost close to Jackson, and when I left out of Auburn, came down Interstate 80 to Sacramento, and then up I-5 to Red Bluff.
Okay. It'll be fun to see sometime. Gold country.
Yeah, and I just saw part of it. I know the upper part of it where it says Rough and Ready, Nevada City, Grass Valley area. I spent a lot of time years over there because I got relatives over there.
Oh, and there's Donner Summit. Okay, so.
Hey, Robin.
Hey, Scott.
We had, I wasn't here then because it's too long ago, but around the same time as the other part of the California Gold Rush, they apparently had gold in the North County of San Diego County. And I can't think of the name. I think it was up there where the apple pies are real famous. I can't think of the name of that place either, but it's up the mountain and just a little bit beyond that. But they played it out pretty quickly. It wasn't anything at all like, Sutter's Mill or any of those places.
Well, once they found gold in Coloma and branched out all over the place, eventually they got even farther north in California.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah.
Up around where I live and then Trinity Alps area. And even up in Siskiyou County.
Now, California, as I recall, had a fair amount of gold. Wasn't the silver like in Nevada or?
You see the Nevada map where it says the Comstock load, aka Virginia City.
Yeah.
That's where all the silver was.
Yeah. And they
but
say
they
there's
do
a
have
lot
gold
of,
mines in Nevada now.
They say in California, in some areas, there are still viable mines, but they're not really economically.
Yeah, my cousin owns one of them.
Really?
Really?
That's pretty amazing.
He bought it. It's up out of Allegheny. It's north of Nevada City. My cousin made a fortune in metal manufacturing in Nevada City.
Huh.
And of course,
now being run by his son.
Historically speaking, it was Mark Twain's brother, Orion, who got an appointment from the Lincoln administration to, I don't know, be postmaster or something, and his brother, Sam, tagged along to It was either, I think it was Virginia City.
Yeah, that sounds right.
And it was there that he wrote the beginnings of his, or you know, wrote the things that began his career and then eventually found his way to San Francisco.
Well, he was a newspaper man first, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, because he learned the trade for, again, from his brother, who tried to run a newspaper, I think, in Missouri. And that was the era of political patronage, and he was a union man, and so that resulted in a little bit of favorable treatment from the Lincoln administration.
Well, once upon a time, any place worthy of any size, any consequence, they would have usually two or three papers, maybe more, and the papers were always affiliated with particular groups or parties. And
right.
You could tell, you know, just by picking it up, with, you know, who liked whom.
And eventually Twain would make his way to San Francisco.
Yeah.
I think he said...
He hung out down in Calaveras County, too.
That's right. Well, the celebrated jumping frog thereof.
The frog. Mm-hmm. Down around Angel's Camp.
And then he went on to say,
Wasn't it Twain that came up with the coldest winter he ever had was a summer in San Francisco?
Yeah, I spent the coldest winter of my life one summer in San Francisco. I was about to go exactly there, Roger. And San Francisco was where he learned to drink professionally.
Didn't he also have an observation, speaking of weather, about India? He said the distinction between hot and warm and hot in India is whether the brass doorknob is soft or squishy, something like that.
Never heard that one.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's... I may not have gotten it right completely, but... The difference between warm and hot in India is the doorknob is something, but if it's the other one, and it's squishy. Maybe it's melted and squishy. I don't know.
Well, Billable Rick wrote in a minute ago to say that Julian, California is in the area that you're talking about, Scott. And
yeah,
said,
that's where the pies are come from, the apple pies.
Right. Star and I stayed at the Julian Hotel in the late summer of 2021, a beautiful 150-year-old Victorian building, small rooms, ornate furnishings and decor, and very beautiful common areas. Coincidentally, while we were there, the Cubs' tight-wadded management did a fire sale of the core of their 2016 World Series winning team. Funny how we associate disparate things.
Well, I'm glad that Rick enjoyed his stay in beautiful Juliet. You know, we get snow up there, believe it or not. In the wintertime, we have actually had measurable snow up in Julian. I forget how high up off the ground it is, off the... above sea level, but it's pretty far up.
High up off the ground. Yeah, the hotel's on stilts.
Why isn't the gold wine go hand in hand? What's up with that?
Hey, Steve.
Hey, Robin. Every gold tourist town also has wineries running all through it.
We're a hearty lot. We're a drinking lot.
Right. Well, yeah, I guess, Scott. Out here where I live, there it's a tourist town, and their claim to fame is we had the first gold rush before the one out west. And, of course, it's nothing but wineries now, as far as the eye can see.
Yeah.
There's gold in them there hills. That's where that saying got started, here in the northeast Georgia mountains.
Right. Up around Helen, right?
Yeah.
Where we were.
Well, Dahlonega, Helen, yeah. Well, it's actually started in Dahlonega, but it transcended into Helen.
What section of Georgia is that? North, south?
It's 60 miles due north of Atlanta, Scott.
And Helen is absolutely beautiful, especially this time of year, right?
So is Dahlonega. Yeah. Just.
But I'm trying to keep it. I'm trying to get it straight. We went into Helen. We weren't at Dahlonega, right?
No, no. But you were 20 minutes away from it. You could have been here. No
but
time.
Did you see the old sign, the vintage sign about the gold in Helen? If you're looking for gold, go to Helen. Wait.
You've probably seen the sign about you can get your Prozac and firearms at the same drugstore.
I was about to go exactly there because I took your name in vain last night or the night before, I forget which. But talking about driving along the road, Chris from Germany and Annette and me, and driving by the pharmacy and gun store. What a great idea!
What was the thing about the porches, 6 feet up, the something about the rivers? And are we talking about the same porches? I'm thinking about the ones in New York. The reason they're 6 feet off the ground is when it floods, because of the primitive sewage situation, you've literally got a river of stuff.
Sewage. Or, a river of sewage.
Yeah, sewage. Thank you.
Oh, and wanted to let you know, Scott, we had we just had a communique from RALP serving as the Horn Ad Hoc Mark Twain Research Department, and I have the passage, Mark Twain on the heat in India. It was winter. We were of Kipling's hosts of tourists who travel up and down India in the cold weather, showing how things ought to be managed. Quote. It is a common expression there, the cold weather, and the people think there is such a thing. It is because they have lived there half a lifetime and their perceptions have become blunted. When a person is accustomed to 138 in the shade, his ideas about cold weather are not valuable. I had read in the histories that the June marches made between Lucknow and Cawnpore by the British forces in the time of the mutiny were made in that kind of weather, 138 in the shade, and had taken it for historical embroidery. I had read it again in Sergeant Major Forbes Mitchell's account of his military experiences in the mutiny. At least I thought I had, and in Calcutta I asked him if it was true, and he said it was. An officer of high rank who had been in the thick of the mutiny said the same. As long as those men were talking about what they knew, they were trustworthy, and I believed them. But when they said it was now cold weather, I saw that they had traveled outside of their sphere of knowledge and were floundering. I believe that in India, cold weather is merely a conventional phrase and has come into use through the necessity of having some way to distinguish between weather which will melt a brass doorknob and weather which will only make it mushy. It was observable that brass ones were in use while I was in Calcutta, showing that it was not yet time to change to porcelain. I was told the change to porcelain was not usually made until May. But this cold weather was too warm for us, so we started to Darjeeling in the Himalayas, a 24-hour journey.
Did that man write, or could he write?
Good Lord, he could write.
What a wordsmith.
I had forgotten about the porcelain. Maybe a certain time of the year when you have to switch.
Yeah. But that is in May.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have always loved the... I mean, he was a Victorian-era writer, but his prose was so far advanced beyond what most others and even people that he was near and dear to were doing. There's no comparison, and there's a formality to his language, and it's the formality that carries a lot of the humor.
Absolutely.
When a person is accustomed to 138 in the shade, his ideas about cold weather are not valuable.
Yeah, it's just the phrasing of it. It's the use, the way the words are used back then versus now is a whole different deal.
And that comes from, by the way, Following the Equator, which is brilliant.
Yes.
I love A Tramp Abroad because it contains probably my favorite single piece of Mark Twain, namely The Awful German Language. Wherein he says, and there's a California reference. I ran into a friend from California who told me he should rather decline two drinks than one German adjective.
Sorry. Well, Robin, I've got something that's kind of been nagging at me. I wanted to run by you. I've been meaning to call you all week, but I just never could make it happen. I had an idea. You know, I'm always thinking outside the box. And this idea is going to get shot full of holes. I know it. But I still wanted to float it by you.
Okay.
It's the Kristen Sinema dilemma. You know, why she's, I'm an independent, I'm mavericky, pew, pew, pew. Why she's,
You know, it's the pew, pew, pew that makes it comedy. Hold on, Steve.
Well, she's switching to an independent. Okay, well, who's she running from? What's the guy's name? Ruben?
Gallego.
What if Gallego said, okay, well, I'm feeling off of mavericky, too. I'm going to run as an independent head-to-head against you. What would she do?
There's no such thing. There's no independent nomination.
I don't quite follow you, ma'am.
If you're a Democrat, you run in a Democratic primary to become the Democratic nominee or some sort of nominating process. Same for Republicans. You don't have to have a primary. You can just have a convention. But some means by which members of the party manifest their will. Independents, by definition, are not members of a party.
So they're not running against anybody, then? Even if another
you could have a baker's dozen of independents on the ballot in November.
Go ahead.
And they'd all be on the ballot in November as independents.
So they wouldn't be running against each other, then?
Well, I mean, they're not. There's no point in time wherein an independent runs against another independent to become the independent who runs in November. They're just all independents, and they're all on the November ballot.
It's worked for for Sanders. It's worked for, was it Jeffords? They all run it as independents. I mean,
there can be other independents on the same ballot and for the same office.
Until anybody even has a notion of running as a Democratic in the Democratic Party, look, we're not going to fund you. You don't stand a chance. Just leave that slot empty. I just want to see her squirm, man. You know.
But she's not. She's not gonna. She is following a playbook, Steve. And the playbook she is following is that of Lisa Murkowski.
Mm-hmm, from Alaska.
Right, because remember some...
They had to write her name in. It's spelled Murkowski.
Correctly, yeah. They had to. Yeah, and she managed to win. And you remember Holy Joe Lieberman?
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
Ned Lamont beat his ass in the Connecticut Democratic primary. So what did he do? He became an independent.
I'm an independent.
Yeah.
Jesus. Well, it was a good thought while it lasted. I knew it was going to get shot down.
But sorry.
Just the person to shoot it down to, you know.
Pull!
Or someone in the Horn family. Yeah.
Pew, pew, pew.
Pew, pew, pew. Thank you for enlightening me. Well, damn it. I'll get back to the drawing board again.
Never give up. Never surrender.
That reference, Paul, is in reference to shooting skeet.
Yes,
indeed.
Didn't that figure prominently on an episode of Beverly Hillbillies? Granny didn't know how to cook them. Or am I thinking of something else?
Yeah, them. You mean them clay pigeons?
Yeah, clay pigeons. Yeah.
Yeah, they just go all to nothing in the pot. Put them in there, put a little water on them, get the water boiling, and next thing you know, they ain't there at all.
Have you ever heard the expression stone soup?
Oh, I don't know that it's an expression. I know that it was a children's book that I was, subjected. Well, heard of, learned of, you know.
Well, the reason I bring it up, you talk about organic elements, and I got to thinking about sometimes they would put a stone in the soup. And there used to be a restaurant in D.C. on Connecticut Avenue just up from DuPont Circle called Stone Soup with great organic food. This is way back in the 70s when it wasn't a new thing, but it wasn't as widely partaken of as it is in today's world. Now, 50 years
ago. Well, the story Stone Soup is a metaphor for community cooperation.
Yeah. Well, yeah, this was a co-op sort of restaurant.
In the story, a mysterious stranger, to work our Twain analogy some more, shows up in town. He's got a pot, and he sets his pot up, and he fills it with water, and he puts some nice, clean, fresh river stones in it. Mm-hmm. And people come up and say, well, what are you cooking? And he says, stone soup. And they said, I've never heard of stone soup. He said, oh, it's delicious.
Yeah.
So somebody comes along and says, I've got some potatoes. Do potatoes go with stone soup? And he says, they absolutely do. So in go the potatoes. Pretty soon somebody else comes up and says, I got some carrots, some onions, some celery, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And the next thing you know, the entire community is having dinner. And they're having stone soup. But in fact, they have been the authors of their own success.
Yeah.
And like I said, I was introduced to it as a child. In fact, I'm pretty sure it got read on Captain Kangaroo.
I wouldn't doubt it. You know, Bob Keeshan, the guy that played Captain Kangaroo, was a pretty level-headed, progressive sort of fellow in the old school model. I don't know about Mr. Green Jeans. I almost said Green Beans. That was his name. But and really did a gentle approach to children's television, which was pretty much until Mr. Rogers came along. It was the exception as opposed to the rule of the way children were entertained, so-called entertained. Do you get what I mean?
Yes.
It just had a whole different approach to it, which is probably why it lasted as long as it did. And
well, yeah,
they used to tell long form fables and tales and stories and things back when you didn't have a commercial break every 4.5 minutes. And he was really particular about the ads that ran on his show. It was some schlocky, guns or weapons of war, battleships or something like that. You wouldn't be likely to see that as a sponsor of Captain Kangaroo. How the hell did I get on that?
And that was right around the same time that Romper Room with Miss Sally aired. I mean,
where did you live at the time? Baltimore?
Yes. Professor Poole and his fun school, and there was Bob McAllister, Wonderama. You probably remember all that, Scott.
What was his name? Stu? Channel 2, Professor Cool. His real name was Stu something.
He was a weatherman, yeah.
Yeah, Stu. Because we had Miss Connie.
All right, each with Romper Room, there was a national Romper Room, and that was part of the program. And then it divided off to the local stations, and they each had their own person who took the local Romper Room and made it personal to the area you were in.
Mm-hmm.
And in our area, it was Miss Charlotte, who was Charlotte Tropp, who was married to a math professor at Humboldt State. And I used to babysit to their kids. So,
yeah, it was an early example of, I guess you'd say, partial franchising?
I guess it was, because everybody had a different Miss Sally. She was regional, demographic.
Yeah, Miss Sally, Miss Charlotte, Miss Rachel, Miss...
They all carried the same format, you know?
Yeah, they have to have, like, do bees and don't bees and
the magic window or
magic mirror. You know, they used to have
it was on the PBS station.
Yep.
I was scarred very badly as a child because they never looked through that fucking mirror and saw anybody with my name.
Damn it.
It was always Bill or Johnny or Fred or just my left one, and I didn't like it.
And that was back before they had the delay, technology that they do now. I mean, things went live. And
oh, yeah,
somebody,
no.
If somebody did pull up a boner, there was – it just went out there. Do you remember Professor
– Probably not your best word choice, Steve, but, you know, yeah. Just saying.
Let's finish the story, though, Rob. This is funny. Professor Cool, he had, like, a joke box, and he would invite the kids up to stand on the joke box, okay?
Yeah,
this one little ornery kid, he got up on the joke box, and he said, what's the difference between a wife and a frying pan? Professor Cool said, well, I don't know. He said, you got to get them both hot before they're cooking. Professor Cool looked at him and said, well, that isn't very nice. And the little kid looked back at him and said, fuck you, clown. And it went all over the airwaves.
No, are you kidding?
Yeah, I am serious, man. Then right after that, the test pattern went up. We are having technical difficulties. Please stand by. I'll never forget that as long as I live.
The guy that played Professor Cool was Stu Kerr.
Stu Kerr,
couldn't think of his last name. And Steve, look in the chat because I'm going to post his picture as Professor Cool and see if that doesn't bring back a memory or two.
I bet. But yeah, that,
see, because down in D.C., we could get the some of the Baltimore stations, so we got to see those shows as well.
Yeah. Yeah, that's him. That's him.
Did you see him?
Yeah.
sounds like little Johnny made his way onto the set. You know, rat, R-A-T rat, great big goddamn rat with a dick this big.
Fuck you, clown. Oh, I laughed. I was going to cry, man. But geez, true story.
Yeah, little Johnny from the Bronx. Oh, I'm probably going to catch shit for saying.
Well, no, they're
hey, Angelo, don't hate me. Got a note from Theo. Theo said, I was a fan of KHJ TV in Los Angeles, which endeared itself to my boyish heart by running Space Patrol episodes in syndication. I help a friend write an epic book about the show, which I collect episodes of on DVD. Those kinescopes have survived in the damnedest places. And once I saw the word kinescope, I learned a hard lesson early on. At first you think, well, you know, if you got to stay home sick from school, maybe you got a fever or whatever. You know, it's not so bad. No, it was horrible. Because you'd wind up watching, oh dear God, Hercules, the animated Hercules. Help me, Herc! Help me, Herc! You know, with anybody, Hercules?
Yeah, I remember Hercules.
Oh, yeah.
And that
Chesapeake Hercules.
That annoying, and there would be like a couple of hours of it, and it's like, Mom, can I go to school, please? No, honey, you're sick.
Yeah.
Wasn't Hercules his friend named Newt?
Yes.
Newt.
Yeah, Newt.
Every Saturday they had like a high Q, and I think that's regional too, where they had like high school kids going against each other intellectually. And I don't care what you were watching, there was always somebody on the panel named Dirk. Dirk, yeah.
In a terrifying echo of the future, it turns out that the father of Anderson Lee Aldrich's stage name as a porn star would be Dirk Delaware.
What was the name in Boogie Nights? Dirk Diggler?
Dirk Diggler.
Diggler, yeah.
Oh, gosh. Oh, every Saturday they had a high Q. And here in Atlanta when I moved to, they had one, but they called it something different. I
mean, was it It's Academic?
It's Academic, yep.
Yeah, because we had that in D.C. and also in Baltimore. And actually, those high school kids, each week there would be two or three high schools represented, and it'd be the smartest kids in the school, like the Scholars Club or whatever organization they were. And I don't know that they won anything, maybe a gift certificate or a big prize for the school or something. But man, those were sharp kids.
Yeah.
Well, the other one that scarred my brain is, of course, Clutch Cargo.
Oh, I love Clutch Cargo. Just freaky enough.
Help me, Paddlefoot.
Well, see, that was the way that they did the motion of the mouth was something. Well, even
right. Oh, it was so cheesy.
Yeah, but I looked at it. I said, you know, this is just freaky enough that I know there's got to be drugs somewhere in my future, you know, because, and then there was a special name for that technique. It was like Cinco, S-Y-N-C-O, or I don't know. So I'll have to look it up. And those, they were, the episodes were cut down into chapters, and you'd have like 10 fucking chapters, and it was, by the time you got to the end of it, you were so lost in the plot. And it was so full of, you know, cheese, and it was stupid. You hated that you spent the 10 chapters to get to the end of the damn thing. And I think there was something going on between old Clutch and what was the kid's name, Butch? Or
Yeah. Paddlefoot is all that stays in my mind.
Oh, that's the dog.
Yeah, right.
The puppets, yeah. Timmy, remember Timmy the puppet? Good gosh, man. Hitting the Wayback Machine.
Well, okay, now and I dare say the program's pretty much over at this point. It's on all of us. It's on all of us. Randy
Scott took us into the Wayback Machine.
Randy Radar says, brush with greatness. Randy Radar says, I got on the local Bozo show. One of my neighbors got chosen as Buddy Boy. He didn't win the, but he didn't win the treasure chest of toys.
What city would that have been?
That was out of Chicago, wasn't it? Bozo.
Well, that Bozo was like Romp Room. They were all over the.
Oh, place. Okay. Yeah. They were all right. I remember the ping pong game where you threw a ball into the bucket. Yeah. So that was like Romp Room.
Buffalo Bob.
Buffalo Bob.
Well, I can, you know, I can serious it up. Think back to the era that Trump was a child. What do you think he watched? Because it certainly wasn't anything that made for a decent human being. You know? I mean, there are people in politics today who have testified that part of their upbringing included public-type television or educational-type television or wholesome things that gave good examples for kids and how to behave among your peers and in the world and be responsible, like Mr. Rogers and all that stuff. You know Trump wasn't watching any of that stuff.
No, that's probably the problem. And Randy Radar answered the question, Boston.
Boston, okay. Yeah. Well, you know, Stu Kerr was also in Baltimore, Steve, was also the Baltimore Bozo.
Yes.
And Willard Scott was the D.C. Bozo.
And he kind of crossed over the Professor Cool and the clown image because he dressed as a clown, too, a clown-like, you know.
Do you remember on Channel 13, WJZ, I think, in the afternoon, Lorenzo the Tramp?
Yeah.
Well, hold on, though, because Theo just jumped back in. Yeah, Robin, I got to hate Hercules. What's been forgotten, get this, what's been forgotten is that the theme song was performed by black R&B performer Johnny Nash, who had hits in the 70s with I Can See Clearly Now,
really?
Hold Me Tight, and Stir It Up. And so I just went to Mr. YouTube and checked it out, and of course the opening screen says a Translux television presentation. Damn, there it is. And I all this time I thought it was Bugs Bunny. So I thought we probably should check out the theme song. Yeah, I'm triggered.
Hercules, hero of song and story. Hercules, winner of ancient glory.
Glory
for the right, fighting with his might. With the strength of ten
ordinary men.
Hercules, people are safe when near him. Hercules, only the evil fear him.
And you can hear... You can hear the vocal quality.
Oh, yeah.
of that theme song.
I remember that song. I could almost sing along with it. Well, I did.
But the thing is, when you take into account the story we had earlier this week or last week about the group of very strange people who think that Bill Gates is funding research to dim the sun. I couldn't help noticing in the opening credits to Hercules, it shows him shooting an arrow and blowing up the sun.
I remember that.
You know, maybe we need to limit the exposure of some of this old crap to people of not particularly sound mind. All right, so we have heard the Hercules theme. Theo tells us that it was done by Johnny Nash. So now we have to look up. I can see clearly now and compare the voice. No, not yet. Yeah, there. Yeah, not Jimmy Cliff, Johnny Nash. Well, okay. No, we've got to deal with an ad first. Because this is a two ad song. There we go.
I can see clearly now, the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind.
I can believe it, Theo. By the way, there was about 30 seconds of chair dancing going on here. Thank God this is not on video.
And we would be remiss if we didn't, you know, give props to the old creature feature. Remember that, Scott? Count Gore Duvall on Channel 20 WDCA?
Yeah.
Who spawned Elvira. Yeah. And then that was regional, too. Everybody had their version of, you know, some goon that will come out of a coffin and introduce some B horror movie late Saturday night. You know?
Remember,
that all gave rise to because Joe Flaherty was from the greater Pittsburgh area. That gave rise to the running skit on SCTV of what was it? Shock Theater with Count Floyd. Tonight's feature. Blood-sucking monkeys from outer space. They land in Uniontown. Didn't they go to... No, what was it? Uniontown. Then they're in Squirrel Hill. Then they're down on Forbes Avenue. Hey, buddy, you got a light? So deliciously Pittsburgh.
Wow.
Blood-sucking monkeys from outer space.
The first time I seen Night of the Living Dead was on Creature Feature. Scared the hell out of me. That was the end.
Oh, George Romero. Shot at the Monroeville Mall. Outside of Pittsburgh. And I guess the Monroeville Mall doesn't even exist anymore.
Well, I'm thinking that the one that was even before that, where they were stuck in like an old farmhouse, the old black and white.
No, the original Night of the Living Dead was shot at the Monroeville Mall.
Okay.
Or the environs there. Oh, and thank you so much answering Jessica's challenge. Thank you so much to our pal Christopher. Christopher with a message, front porch memory hole. Beautiful. Thank you, Christopher. You know, maybe after a week of insanity and madness. Maybe we need that. Was that somebody yelling at Scott?
Scott, did you cheese off your nurse? Nurse Ratchet.
Yeah, don't do that. No fruit cup.
No ice cream for you. No orange
sugar. I wasn't being yelled at. You'd be relaxing with nothing on your mind at all, and then something will occur to you that you should have taken care of. Well, when I was under care at the two medical facilities, I brought my medicines with me, my prescription medicines, but they confiscate them, and they'll give you their own version of them. You know, do the right dosage and all that stuff, but they just can't. There's some legal requirement where they can't do used medicines because they're mine, my prescription, so therefore they've had at least one previous owner. So anyway, after I was transferred to the second hospital, I know that my medicines went with me, but after I was discharged, I didn't recall them coming with me in my go-home bag. So I sat bolt upright right before the thing today, the show, and I said, I've got to call somebody and find out what became of my prescriptions. And that was the lady here at the complex who's helping me track them down.
Ah, I see. One
drama after another.
How did you? I meant to ask you, how did you do with the cones today? They're cones.
We didn't do cones. We did throwing the beach ball at my head. And
incoming.
Yes.
Is that therapy or something? What the hell? What am I missing here?
No, my job was to hold like a broomstick sort of thing, and bat it back. Whether it was high, low, left, right, whatever. And then we got to the part where I almost fell on my ass.
Wait, did you... Hold on. Anybody giving you signs? Were you supposed to take a pitch somewhere along the way?
No.
Or was this strictly Casey Stengel stuff, you know, go out and take one in the neck?
No, basically it was to show that I have good coordination and can see and react appropriately and all that. Not like what movie was that? Where the guy's throwing the frisbee and he keeps hitting.
Yeah, that's Howard Stern, Private Parts. That's exactly what I was just now thinking of. Yeah, whack frisbee right in the head.
Yeah, no, here I'll throw it and you catch it. Throw it back. Bang. Anyway, but I forgot your question. What the hell were you asking me? Well, anyway, we're trying to track these down. Oh, you were asking about the cones. Is that where we were?
Yes, we were at cones.
Yeah. No, today's thing was throw the beach ball at me, and I bounce it back with a broomstick. And then after that, they wanted me to climb one step. Up on one foot, down on the next foot, up on one foot, down on the next foot. I got to three attempts and damn near fell on my ass because my left leg is not as good as the right leg. So, and it freaked me out and upset me too. And they said, don't worry about it. You know, it's all a progression. It's a progression. It's a, you know, you make a little progress every time you come in.
So where are you at now, Scott? I mean, is this facility number 3?
Well, no, I guess technically it's number 2.
Okay.
It's where I am now. The first one was Mercy Hospital, and this one is not. But they're not too far from one another.
Okay.
And, so I just get on the, you know, walk down the hall with my walker, who I've nicknamed Junior. I'm going to get a laugh from that joke if it kills me. Anyway.
Any time frame on going home? Or
don't know yet. It's one of those grand mysteries of life.
It's 30 days, a week? You just don't know.
I have no idea in the world. hopefully sooner rather than later.
So you in a single room with a TV and all that? I mean,
yeah, pretty much.
Right, cool.
Actually, I've got, you know, the nice thing about it, though, is I know that I'm, aside from stumbling a little bit today, I'm making steady progress. And the things that they require of me are not beyond me. It's just getting my legs and arms and different things to cooperate.
So have you noticed an improvement so far? About the same?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm way better than I was when this first happened.
Good. Last night, the whole objective. Good.
Last night, I went to where the hell did he the trainer or whatever. But anyway, it involved
physical therapist.
Yeah, but this was last night, and we were in a hurry to get me dressed again, and then I get home and noticed that my briefs were on backwards. So I don't know. I didn't catch it, and he didn't catch it, so I don't know what the deal was.
Good thing you didn't have to take a leak. That'd have been hard fishing.
Well, yeah. Somebody's the aliens have done something with my shorts. I don't know. Anyway.
This program. Sometimes this program.
Well, I mean, it's all real life. It's
and me without no reality. Tequila.
Damn it. That
too. It's,
Robin, you can remedy that situation.
Not without a 30-mile round trip.
Oh, good God!
I couldn't live like that.
Whew. They just opened a liquor store here in Dahlonega.
Oh, I know. I mean, you had a chance to clean the joint out.
Yeah. 5 minutes, man. I'm there. I was one of the first ones there. Happier than a pig in mud.
No, I had walked into ours not too long back. I was getting something for some eggnog. And I looked behind the counter and said, oh, my God, you've got a bottle of Old Weller. She said, yeah, but it's part of a package. And I kind of craned up and looked over. Yeah, it was like five bottles of whiskey for $681.
Oh, good God.
But one of them was the Old Weller Wheated Bourbon 114 Full Proof.
Is that comparable to Pappy Winkle or whatever?
Well,
seek after.
Well, the Old Weller Antique 107 is actually made with the same mash bill as Pappy Van Winkle. And back before the world lost its mind, you could get a bottle of Old Weller Antique 107 for $24. And then once people figured out what it was, well, supply and demand did its magic, and now it's a $75 bottle of hooch. Now, I wandered around in there just because I wanted to see. Really? A fifth of Elijah Craig is $40?
Ouch.
Yeah.
I found Robin Weller anywhere from 68 to 193.
Yeah, and some of that depends on which version, Roger.
This is Robert, Old Weller Antique 107.
Damn.
Are you a bourbon gal? Are you okay with bourbon?
I don't drink much of anything anymore.
Okay.
But I do. But I have noticed that my tastes have changed since transition.
Right. R&R Reserve is almost on par with Crown Royal. But
it comes out of the same distillery.
I think so.
No, I know
in
so.
In fact, yeah, I've challenged my friends. You tell me which one's better, and they can't. The only difference is the price. One of them's, her half gallon is, what, $30, and the other one's, $70, $80, $90, according to where you get it.
Well, do you not remember those little cocktails I was making down at the Malloy weekend in December years ago? You and Billable both tried it and loved it. It was half rich and rare apple, which is the same as Crown Apple minus $70. It was half rich and rare apple, half Fireball, and a little splash of ginger beer on top.
Nice.
Ah, that was Can't
Bird Dog makes a cost effective whiskey for flavored whiskeys. They got peanut butter and all that crazy crap. If that's
I've seen the other peanut butter bourbon. I mean that sounds like something a 13-year-old whose parents are gone for the night is going to do.
End up puking, you know, in a few hours.
And the funny thing is, so there's this convenience store next to the liquor store, and the convenience store is the only place in town where I can find the Fanta Pina Colada soda, which I will allow myself one like every 3 days, just because I love the fizz and the flavor. And so I'll do a walkthrough in the liquor store.
Yeah, doesn't that have caffeine, Fanta?
No, that's okay. Why I can drink it. It proudly says on the label, caffeine free.
Yeah. The roof, yeah. Yeah.
Isn't Fanta affiliated with one of the major bottlers like
Coca-Cola? Yeah, Coca-Cola.
Okay, I couldn't remember. I knew it was one of them.
And it's just delightful. I don't know why, but it just—I've got one right now. Been sipping on it for a day and a half. But I stop in there to get it, and then I do a walk through just for the fun of it over at the liquor store. And son of a gun, they had like four cases of this garbage stacked up. The 100 proof banana flavored bourbon. And I I'm friends with the guy who works there, and I'm like, what?
I can't imagine that.
And he said, we can't keep it in the store. I said, well, if they ever do a tasting, you know, I would like to have a thimble full of it. He said, we can't keep it in the store. We can't pull one back to do customer tastings with.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn. Well, somebody must like it.
So there's 92 different flavors of vodka now. It's just it, and Randy Radar asks, how much for amaretto or sangria? You can buy the cheap amaretto for the De Kuyper. I think it comes in about $9 or $10. But if you want the amaretto de Serrano, you're going to pay considerably more, but they got the holiday things out, so now you get a couple of highball glasses with for the same price as a regular bottle. But
De Kuyper is like D-U-K-Y, K-U-Y or something?
D-E, capital D, little E, capital K-U-Y-P-E-R.
See, I didn't know that was El Chico brand. I thought that was a,
Oh, no, I think it's made out somewhere in old Missouri or something, maybe at the McCormick Distillery.
Down there in, I forget where, Holden?
Maybe, yeah.
Holden, Missouri?
I knew you'd be good for a Missouri reference.
I hadn't realized until I lived out there that there's a lot of distilling in Missouri, legal distilling, I mean. I just, for some reason, I know Kansas was a dry state once upon a time, but I didn't think of that region of the country being big for distilleries.
Well, see, I started college out in Missouri, and Alabama was a pretty uptight place relative to the potables. And I got out to Missouri, and I thought it was the damnedest thing I'd ever seen. You can literally wait a minute, and this is right up there with Steve talking about the liquor store pharmacy combo. Equally insane is the fact that you can pull up, put gas in your tank, and pick up a fifth of hooch while you're at it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because growing up in D.C. area, in Virginia anyway, it was all ABC stores, and they closed at like 5 on the dot or 7 on the dot, whatever it was. And to see it in see booze in a drugstore when I got to Missouri, I couldn't believe it. I said, do they know this is going on? And my friend said, well, obviously they do, because there it is,
Well, see, once upon a time, the Rite Aid here in my little community sold beer, wine, and liquor. And then the state changed the rules, and they pulled it out. And now if you want a bottle of something, let's say you've made fruitcake and you need to soak it in brandy or some such, you gotta drive to Fayetteville. And that's about, you know, 20-mile round trip.
Wow.
And for a long time, they weren't open on Sundays, so you had to be like the children of Israel, gathering enough manna to get through the Sabbath. And you'd have a mad rush at like 9:45 on Saturday night. Like, oh shit! Fuck tomorrow. And people loading up. By the way, Brother Deacon Ace, this is banana bourbon. What's next? Teriyaki ribeye? Ugh. No, Brother Deacon, not teriyaki ribeye. Teriyaki rye. Don't give them any ideas.
I just can't I can't even capture the essence of banana flavored bourbon. I mean, these are two distinct flavors, and I can't imagine them.
Yeah, this ain't no Reese's ad. This is not chocolate and peanut butter, two great tastes that go great together. Oh, and I got to give a cow. Wait a minute, I got to give a cowbell to Brother Deacon. And this is for something earlier when Sparky was talking about his travel log through the gold country. Brother Deacon Asa said, "Did Sparky mention Dry Town, California? I think that's where Ben Shapiro's wife hails from. That's not just a cowbell. That's a..." Yeah. Well, I guess everybody else didn't find it as funny as I did.
Well, you know.
No, I was at the local Costco the other day, and there were some people up from California looking for the liquor section in the Oregon Costco. They got beer and wine, but nothing stronger than that. You got to go to the state liquor store.
Oregon still has squirrely laws?
Yeah. I mean, it's not bad. It's not very far. Actually, it's sort of right next door to the Safeway we shop at, so it's convenient for us. But when somebody comes up from California, they expect to go into Costco and get the less expensive hard liquor at Costco. It just isn't there. It was kind of amusing.
And, of course, I guess Pennsylvania still has some of the squirreliest liquor laws in the country. You have to go to a distributor. I think it's
ABC
still that way.
ABC store, isn't it?
ABC, no, it's a distributor. Something? It's a distributor.
Wow.
Hey, can y'all do me a favor and not have a bunch of dead air or anything? Can you get some conversation going? I got to bounce out of here for a second, and I'll be right back, okay?
Well, I'll jump in.
Please do.
We know the Republicans are pushing really hard to get rid of Social Security and Medicare and all that crap. But I think I've come up with why they're wanting to do it. If somebody right now is working at, say, and I'm just picking some numbers, $25 an hour, by the time you pay your 7.5% your share of Social Security, Medicare taxes, and you pay your income taxes, you're basically taking home $18.75 an hour. If they get rid of Social Security, everybody's going to be getting a 7.5% raise in pay by not paying the Social Security taxes, and the employer is going to be getting a 7.5% increase in profits by not paying for the Social Security tax. So when you come in to negotiate a new wage, they're going to look at you and say, well, hell, why are you wanting a new wage? You got a 7.5% raise last year. And they'll palm it off. And again, the lower end working people are going to get hosed by the Republicans. Am I wrong?
Sounds like something that they'd be definitely for. Like, they've been looking to get rid of Social Security
since its inception,
pretty much.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they've been working on it, and they got a good start on it back in the 80s under Ronnie with Joe Biden's help, when they doubled it from 7.5% total to 15.2% total.
So same with Medicare. When they privatized Medicare, they fucked it all up, man.
Well,
yeah.
I still would like to see that bill come through where Medicare Advantages can't use the term Medicare.
Exactly. It's fraud, Roger.
Yeah, it's totally fraud.
Yep.
There's a lot of people that don't know any better. They sit at home all day and watch those commercials, and they're like, oh.
Is he Jimmy Walker?
Medicare doesn't
give
me vision or, yeah. Vision, yep, or dental or hearing aids, but this Advantage does, so I'm going to go over to that because it doesn't cost me any extra.
And from what I hear, trying to go back on real Medicare is a real pain in the ass, if not impossible.
Oh, it's damn near impossible. Yeah. My father-in-law, when he retired, well, he was a foreign national. He was a Peruvian citizen on a green card the whole time. And when he was in D.C., that was all cool because he was Kaiser, and his retirement from the World Bank paid his Kaiser premiums. But when he came out to live with us, the closest Kaiser was 250 miles away. And we ended up having to take him down for some stuff and all the rest of it. And then decided we had to switch him over to Medicare because there wasn't any Kaiser around. And he had to pay some ungodly penalty. And we got some of it beat down because we could prove that he had been covered by other insurance. But he was still paying, I don't know, $750 a month for Medicare.
God damn. Well, yeah, real Medicare, I think my mom pays, it's less than $200 a month, and it's good insurance. And once you get a Medigap coverage that fills in the donut hole, she doesn't have to ever worry about getting a bill.
Well, I do my Medicare A and then pay my B premium, because if I ever travel somewhere I don't know where the VA clinic is, I'm going to want to go into the regular hospital kind of number. Mm. But other than that, VA is all I use. But what pisses me off is I have to pay a copay with the VA, which, you know, of and of itself isn't bad. But for the last, well, I signed on to Medicare when I was 65, so that was 12 years ago. I've never taken a dime out of Medicare, and they won't even cover my copay when I go to the VA.
So you can't use one against the other as a secondary then?
No. Now, when I was still insured under my wife, the insurance company, school insurance, covered all the copays. I mean, they were real happy to pay $5 for a 3-month supply of meds, or real happy to pay a $15 copay when I went and saw the regular practitioner, you know, the regular doctor. Or the $50 copay when I see a specialist, they were happy to pay it. But now I get to pay all that. So what the fuck am I doing paying for Medicare? I mean, I'm keeping it in case I, you know, hop on a plane somewhere and have a heart attack when we fly into Dallas and let them take me to the local hospital, and then the VA can collect me and take me somewhere else. But it's just squirrely. Like,
or even the dumplings last.
Somebody was
no. By the way, I'm back. No, I think that was background noise in Scott's room. And Darlene in Connecticut has a golf clap for Brother Deacon Asa. Shapiro's wife is from Dry Town. Is freaking brilliant and hilarious. Those on the front porch and in the hospital didn't get it or didn't recall the baseline joke about Ben and what he said about his wife. Yeah, just to reiterate, when Cardi B and Megan the Stallion came out with WAP a couple of years ago, of course, because he is the moral vanguard of America, neo-maxi-zoom-dweeby Ben Shapiro declared the song pornographic and disgusting, and said that there's something wrong with any woman who gets wet, and said, well, my wife's a doctor, and she never gets wet. And it remains the greatest self-own in the history of the Internet.
So, all right, now I get it. more fully.
Hence, you know, dry. Yes. Dry town, California.
I'm sorry,
yes.
I've not been myself. That's what it is.
I was there.
Dry town, California.
Yeah, that's where that theater was.
Oh, okay.
With all the weird shit in it.
Yeah, so that's why Brother Deacon made the joke. Another maggot has gotten some fresh new charges against him. I hope it doesn't hurt too little. A dude, well, we got a twofer this evening. 33-year-old Capitol terrorist Edward Kelly. Got taken down. He was already facing multiple criminal charges for his role in the terrorist attack on the Capitol. And now he's been taken down for... Ha! He doubled down, the dipshit. For a plot to murder individual law enforcement personnel who were involved in investigations related to the January 6th terrorist attack. Kelly and another genius by the name of Austin Carter, 26 years old, got hold of a list of officers involved in the probes and started planning to murder them. And they also included a plan to attack the FBI's office in Knoxville, Tennessee. So hopefully they'll be going away for a nice long while. So we got that.
You remember those times not too long ago when Republicans, at least in public, claimed to be in favor of law and order and the civil society?
Yes, those halcyon days.
Wasn't there? There must have been an alien invasion where they swapped people out and put. These odd replacements.
No, it's who they've been all along. There's Brian Sean Smith, age 36, taken down by federal authorities in Huntsville, Alabama this week, charged with civil disorder, entering and remaining in a restricted building or grounds with a deadly weapon, disorderly conduct, engaging in physical violence in a restricted building or grounds, and parading and demonstrating or picketing in a Capitol building. So...
Using the I don't want to and you can't make me defense?
I guess.
Liberty!
Wolverines! Feed them! That makes over a dozen Talibanians who have been busted for the in relation to the terrorist attack on the Capitol on January 6, 2021. At the time, he was wearing an army green jacket, a camouflage baseball hat. Sometimes he had on black sunglasses. He had an army name tag featuring his last name. He was shown on surveillance footage repeatedly yelling, impeding, and engaging in group assault against law enforcement officers guarding the Capitol. So hopefully he too will enjoy some time in the care, custody, and control of the United States Bureau of Prisons. But then there's this dude. My goodness gracious. And let me note that we're coming up on about 40 minutes to go on the program. We're trying to get below $500 in the fundraising goal to close the week. So basically, $520 would finish the week to the good. We'd have two Friday on the Front Porch community-made miracles in a row, and maybe I could take a run at some of the power bill, which would be wonderful. God, it's exhausting. But if you want to help out, the PayPal button's at headon.live, and the help is badly, badly needed. News coming out of the Athens Banner-Herald. Steve, if you're still there, you'll enjoy this, because this is Georgia news. 67-year-old Daniel E. Rampe had been scheduled, still, I guess, is scheduled to take office on January 9th, 2023. He got 83% of the vote in the Republican primary earlier this year. And, well, whether he takes office or not is sort of, I guess, up in the air. Because he was, to quote here, arrested at the Magnolia Estates of Winder Assisted Living Center, where he's been the manager for the past 38 years. This is Barrow County, Georgia. Steve? Where is that?
Oh, I'm thinking around Douglasville.
Okay.
Somewhere in that area.
Well, the sheriff's office there, the sheriff's office there in Barrow County said they started an investigation when medication started going missing. And
it's around Winder and Brazelton, Jefferson.
Okay.
That gives you a point.
Well, the county sheriff, Judd Smith, speaking to the Barrow County Battle Cry, Moral Volcano and Battle Cry of Freedom, another stolen Mark Twain line. Now, the local news publication said, yeah, well, we had a couple of instances of him on video taking the items, and today we had one as well. We actually filmed him going into the residence and taking the items. And currently, Rampy is charged with the distribution or possession of a controlled substance, burglary, and exploitation of a disabled adult. He's
who
in the.
Is this guy?
His name is Rampy, R-A-M-P-E-Y. The story actually came out of the Athens Banner Herald. Daniel E. Rampy, 67, of Statham, Georgia.
State house. Okay. All right. I see him. There's a picture of him. Yeah, he looks like a crook.
Well, but he's got good God-fearing, Bible-believing, upstanding, Christ-centered, evangelical, gun-mentalist, amosexual, Christian, Republican values. And he chews up OxyContin. He chews up Oxys for the refreshing burst of flavor, I reckon.
Who needs juicy fruit, right?
Yeah, right. Double your pleasure. Double your fun.
Well, let the Horn family know and let the record show that I don't chew them, but I do swallow them at regular intervals. And that's what's kept me centered and grounded and relatively pain-free thus far.
Well, they're great for what they do because the time-release coating on them, I mean, I've had them too, and I'm not ashamed to say it.
Never had them until now, I don't think.
Well, the nice thing is, if you take them as directed, you know, the other opioids, you take them and you just get slammed with that immediate effect. And you're like, well, now.
Out in 4 hours, yeah.
Yeah.
This is like like riding waves on a semi-calm body of water somewhere.
Well, when you've got real badass pain, OxyContin will just make you feel normal. Doesn't make you feel high because it's time released.
Maybe it's a body high then, because I definitely, or it's just being tired. Whatever it is, it takes care of the pain, which is the legitimate reason.
Oh, the first week after surgery, I had it, and I was grateful for it. And I also had it when on one of my pancreatitis attacks.
Oh, and those, I've never had that, but I hear those are quite.
Oh, that's a trip to Pain Mountain.
Oh yeah,
but if you chew them up for the refreshing burst of flavor, well, it's a different buzz.
Well, these things are, I think she said they're only like 5 milligram, which is the lowest dose. But these are too teeny tiny to chew. These,
if you try, it would break your teeth. I mean, they're like cement. They're really hard. Well, and it's by design.
That.
By design. Yeah.
That's
but
why
the pendulum is turning. They have realized that they were hurting a lot of innocent people by getting so ham-handed with prescription medication. The problem is with the fentanyl that is getting mixed in with other street drugs. That's what's killing folks. And the FDA is finally realizing that. And they're telling doctors now, hey, you know, you need to treat your pain patients properly because, you know, pain can kill you. Chronic pain can, and it does kill people. Scott?
Well, yeah, there was a story I had a couple of weeks ago, horrifying story, of a guy who committed suicide because his access to pain medication, and it wasn't like he was, and it's
junkie or anything.
Yeah, it's pathetic that you even have to say this sort of thing, but you know, he just kept from doctor to doctor to doctor, and the doctors, you know, he'd treat with one doctor till the doctor said, well, you know, I'm not going to be able to write this for you anymore. They'll come take my license, even right. though it was a completely legitimate yep. use, and the guy had an injury that left him in debilitating constant pain.
And what ends up happening, it happened to a good friend of mine. I've told the story here to the Warren family before. She ended up turning to the streets because when you're in chronic pain that bad, you will sell your soul to the devil to find relief. And you turn to the streets, then you don't know what the hell you're getting. You get, you know, a hot dose, and I lost a very good friend that 8-9 years ago with that very same scenario. We you know, we need to rethink the way that we are treating chronic pain, and they are. Back in September, the FDA came out and told all the doctors, hey, you know, you need to listen to your patients, take what they're telling you seriously.
Yeah. And so, and this, you know, this guy, Daniel E. Rampey of Statham, this isn't a guy with a chronic pain condition. This is just a guy who steals drugs from old people.
Just for shits and giggles for his own self. Or yeah, and profiting, or who knows.
Man. And see, I know how it'll play. You know, he'll get busted. He'll either plead out or... I can't imagine him not pleading out. If Billable Rick's listening, he can certainly opine here.
Like Limbaugh, you know.
But he'll plead out, and, well, Your Honor, I just made some mistakes, and I don't... And his pettifogger will say things like, well, you know, he's been a pillar of the community, and he's not flat risk, and he's unlikely to ever reoffend again. So, Your Honor, if you just put him on probation... We just thank the world and all of you for that, and Jesus will bless you. And instead of going to a really nasty prison where he needs to go, I'll just go home. It pisses me off. But speaking of court cases, oh, and thank you, Ralphs. Ralphs, you're such a doll. Thank you. We are now down under $500. We're down to $495 for a community-made miracle in the next half hour. I didn't know that. Randy Radar just told me hard ice cream is a thing now. Ice cream mandrake, little children's ice cream. Alcohol is a depressant, so it's not a great remedy as a pick-me-up. Boozy ice cream.
Do you mean hard ice cream in the sense of booze?
Yes.
Oh, see, this is new on me.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of ice cream, I'm not entirely responsible for some of the things I do, but I mentioned on the program that we had received a supply of Vermont Country Store, no sugar added, fruit sugars only, fruit spreads. There were like three blackberries. There was a black raspberry, a boysenberry, and an orange pineapple. And yeah, I ran out last night and got a pint of vanilla ice cream and had it with some of those blackberry fruits. Holy, God! You know, blackberries have such a beautiful and unique flavor. There's a kind of a little bit of the fruitiness and the berry quality, but there's just a little hint of a kind of bitterness to them.
Tart and bitter. It's good for you. Yep.
And I had it with that pint of ice cream, and oh, Nelly, as Keith Jackson used to say, That was some kind of good. Now, if I'd had the Bluebell homemade vanilla, I probably would have just spontaneously combusted in a rapture of pure delight.
Well, if you could ever get your hands on Marionberry as a fruit spread, it's named for Marion County, Oregon, developed by the OSU, Oregon State University Extension, quite some time ago. It's a blackberry, but is distinctly different in flavor from your average blackberry. And you should give that a try.
That sounds delightful. Are they like bigger than the average blackberry, or?
Yeah, they're, well, out here we've got two basic different kinds. We've got the traditional, rather small-seeded blackberry, and then we've got the Himalaya berries, which have a really good flavor, but the seeds are like golf balls, which I realize that's an exaggeration. But the Marionberry has the small seeds and a really good flavor. So just, you know, if you ever see a Marionberry jam or jelly, don't hesitate to pick it up and give it a taste.
That sounds fantastic. Hey, I just got what looks to be some potentially breaking news from our buddy Mark down in Florida, Stan. The following charges are expected to be recommended to DOJ on behalf of the January 6th committee for former President Donald Jailbird, hopefully, Trump. Signed, Mark, up to speed and still behind enemy lines. Stay safe out there, Mark. But this looks 18 U.S.C. Section 2383, rebellion, comes with a 10-year sentence and a disqualification to serve in office. 18 U.S.C. Section 1512, obstruction, comes with 20 years, or potential. These are potential. These are maxes. And then 18 U.S.C. Section 371, conspiracy to defraud, and that comes with a max of 5 years. You know, Mark, so let it be written, so let it be done. And what is it, Monday, we get the final report and the committee hearing and the recommendation of charges? Mark didn't tell me what his source was on this, but Mark is pretty sharp relative to breaking news.
Well, I had heard the coming week, but I hadn't heard Monday in particular. But with the holidays coming up and the deadline for the end of this current Congress, they better get it. They're going to be burning the midnight oil between now and whenever.
Oh, I hope they drop a house on him.
Oh, wait a minute. Oh, damn it. Ow. Just pulling my left leg up over my right leg to make a figure four laying here. Can you visualize that?
Yes, I know exactly what you're talking about.
It is a very, very basic move. I mean, I've been doing it ever since I was a child. You know, maybe even before I had the capacity to speak. Maybe it gets harder when you're older and infirm. I don't know.
But did you, Scott? Did you feel particularly infirm before this hit, like a week ago?
No, but let me tell you, where's Laszlo with the pills? Summon him quickly. No, I didn't actually. I mean, before I fell down, I was, you know, not a 20-year-old, but certainly not. I mean, right now, there have been times when I've been hobbling around feeling like I'm 82. And not that there's anything wrong with being 82, you know what I mean.
Yeah, but you're not 82.
No, not real close to it. But I don't know, it might have been easier if I was, you know, somewhere where I had relatives and, you know, a good circle of people that bring me a covered dish of something or a snort of something or a backyard wind chime for the porch, or is that what that was? I heard something. I know it ain't the medicine talking now. But yeah, I guess I answered your question. No, I felt fine until I went down like a bag of rice.
I feel fine. I feel happy. Oh, don't be such a baby. You're very ill. I don't want to go on the cart.
Where is that from? I know that.
Monty Python and the Holy Grail.
Yeah, that's what I thought. That's the one to bring out your dad, isn't it?
Yeah, that's exactly what that is.
Okay. We're all slow on the uptake, and I apologize. That was my usual snappy rejoinders and things. Although the other night I did get one. I did get you, as I often do, where I just zinged you right to glory. And I like when that happens because it's so unexpected, and the response is always fun.
Oh, and thank you for that, Ralphs. Ralphs did some digging around as the Horn Ad Hoc Marion Berry Fruit Spread Research Department. She's found
Marion Berry?
Stop. Scott?
I didn't.
No, what Roger was talking about. So I can order some from Amazon and find out how they compare with ordinary garden variety non-GMO blackberries. Somebody's banging away like it's the U.S. Embassy in Saigon in 1975.
What is it? Is that a typewriter?
I don't know. Whatever it is, it seems like they had a corner, though.
John Britovo!
What are
y'all doing? I tuned in to find out who the hell had something cornered in that corner. Somebody's beating somebody. How y'all doing?
Oh, you know, if I was any better, I'd be something. I don't know. Maybe Nueces County, Texas, where it's probably warm or something.
Oh, maybe. I ain't gonna brag. 70-something today. I don't know. I never got out of a t-shirt, so. I did have my felt on during my show today. I did my rant.
Yeah?
I had a t-shirt, my felt as well, because it was cooler in the early part of the day, but it warmed up. You don't like the weather in South Texas? Just wait a minute. It'll change.
Yes, it will. Yeah, right. Yeah, we've moved into the mud and slop portion of the program here. In the last week before the official beginning of winter.
Are we into shiny hiney already? Shit.
I'm going to get me one of them now. Probably come in more handy than they used to.
We need to enjoy this weekend, baby. Come Monday, it's going to be a new ball game. We're going to get presents under the tree on Monday and on Wednesday, and then Christmas is coming, and New Year's, and boy, howdy shit, hang on to your britches. 23 is coming.
Oh, 23 and me, John Britovo.
I'm telling you, there won't be any shortage of things to discuss, Robin.
And
there won't be. It's just going to hit like a ton of bricks, man.
Kevin McCarthy on January 3rd?
Yep.
And he's sending out noises. But this could all fall... I mean, is it entirely unrealistic and just Pollyanna wishful thinking on my part, John, that I'm sitting here thinking that January 3rd would be positively hilarious if Raheem Jeffries walked away Speaker of the House?
No shit, that would be... I don't know. I understand they're trying to come up with a new troll notification system. So when they go to talking about Hunter Biden, you'll hear this notification that goes, Benghazi.
Well, Scott and I wrote the theme song for 2023. You know.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Hunter Biden, the Benghazi of our time. We will hear about Hunter Biden till we're all fit to lose our minds.
Yeah, that's about
there
right.
You go.
That's what it's
going to
be.
And it's like, if there was ever a bigger waste of time and resources than that, I don't know what it is. Although they'll think of something.
Well, when they're not, hold on, Scott. When they're not investigating Hunter Biden, they're going to be investigating Dr. Fauci.
They're going to get him for all that vaccine shit. You know, giving him poking people in the arm there with fucking needles and shit like that. What the fuck does he think he's... Anyway.
Yeah, I got a note from Matt in San Francisco saying that still negative and so are the tests. So stay COVID negative, Matt.
That's good.
Yeah, that is good.
Oh, yeah. Hang on to someone's ear.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, do you have a caller, Scott?
No, she's taking my vitals.
Ah, okay. Well, we can probably continue to converse in the meantime. But I don't know if you heard earlier, our buddy Mark down in Florida sent along what is expected to be the charges recommended by the January 6th committee.
Yeah, about that obstructing justice.
Rebellion.
Yeah, insurrection. Fucking shit. Yes. Yes. It's going to be several of those, and then we're going to get referrals to the Ethics Committee, and what don't go to the Ethics Committee is going to go to state bar associations for disbarment proceedings for some of these attorneys. So we're going to get the GOJ referrals, we're going to get Ethics Committee referrals, and then we are going to see some lawyers that are going to be recommended to their state bar association that they be disbarred.
And Mark tells us that his source for that is Midas Touch and Ben Mycelis.
Yeah, Midas Touch reporting on it a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, it shit, you know, I've seen it on CNN a little while ago when I was in the living room. They were talking about it, obstruction of justice, obstruction of official proceedings. They didn't use the word rebellion. They used another word. It's meaning the same thing.
Insurrection?
They may have. Conspiracy. But I don't
know. Well, no, there's conspiracy. The three charges are rebellion, obstruction, and conspiracy to defraud.
Oh, it's conspiracy to defraud. That was one. Yes, I'm looking forward to it. Let's go, baby. Yeah. Let's go.
I'm not sure what the etiquette is on this, John Verdeveau. Is this a champagne optional event? Or since it's only a recommendation, do we stay down in the beer neighborhood?
Well, we're not rising up champagne yet because the only, you know, this is just a recommendation to DOJ. It's up to DOJ regardless of what. And I always said I would rather have seen an organic charge come out of DOJ before, besides a referral. But the DOJ is going to pick up a lot of information from the committee with a lot of depositions that they've taken that the DOJ has not been privy to yet. So they're going to get a lot of information. But, you know, I keep having this thought in my head that what's holding this democracy together, this society that we have, one of the things is a belief in our justice system. I know it's fucked up. We could point out examples of it being fucked up every day of the week. But we have a basic...
But not this fucked up.
Not this... No, well, look where we're going, baby. We're going to the top. We're going all the way to the pinnacle of this shit. And if we cannot get a conviction on him for things that we are all witness to, this is not some, you know, deep dive that they have to find. We all witnessed what he did. We just need to have it proven in a court of law. It's not always easy to do. And if this shit gets indicted tomorrow, you know it's going to be 2 years before we see a trial, 3 years or whatever. Postpone and delay, baby. Because in Donnie's mind, justice delayed is justice denied. And that's the way he's always going to play it. But
he's got to win in 24 if he wants those charges held in abeyance.
Do you see his NFTs? Come on.
Yes.
You know what I was thinking though? He's a grifter. He's a man that wants money. And the people that are buying these things are not Joe Blow smut down the street redneck with his pickup truck. He ain't got $99. If he did, he's got to spend it elsewhere on beer or something. I don't know. Buy his girlfriend a present. But who is buying them are people that want to donate to him or win his favor. Hell, they're probably buying 50, 60, 70, well, there's, at a time.
I don't know how you sell out of...
You don't.
But they're sold out.
It creates a market.
Mm-hmm.
It creates a market. Oh, we're sold out. No, I want one. I didn't get the cowboy one yet. You know? But he's already raised over $4 million with it. You know,
Jesus.
So, yes, 4 point something.
Okay, okay, I can't do that in my little pumpkin head. Hang on. I got to get the calculator out.
Yeah, how many is that?
So that's four, maggots. Not.
Yeah.
Not. Divide by 99. He has sold... There are 40,404 idiots.
Well, not necessarily, Robbie. You know, some of them old boys, they want to make a good impression with Donnie. I'm going to buy 1,000 of them. Send him $1,000. Are you shitting me?
Yeah, Bobby. and then send them to your neighbors for Christmas.
Yeah, yes, package them up. Put them in a box. Are you shitting me? When I saw the pictures, I couldn't help but just... I would have more value if it was a trading card. I put in my hand.
Trading card.
If he had come out with an actual card, limited supply of actual paper cards, whatever the fuck he wants to make them look pretty, he would have generated income, but people would have bought them because in a certain point in time, 20, 40, whatever years down the road, they would be valuable. You know, but he did an NFT, which gets him a lot of money real quick, but, you know, people are going to forget it's on their phone, or I don't know how that shit works. You know.
And that's the thing. I don't either. I don't know how it works.
Once he sends it out as a JPEG, all you got to do is copy it, and you can sell them all over the place.
Yeah, you can. I could have a copy of every one of them. I don't have to pay for them.
Well, I hope there's some genius at the Lincoln Project or Midas Touch or somewhere that's going to come out with, I don't know, some Trump NFTs done as every member of the Village People. The cowboy, the cop, the leather dude.
Yeah, the leather dude. I can't wait to see the investigation into this for ethics violations. Because like I said, I don't think these are just maggots out there collecting. No, this is giving people a venue, an opportunity to be able to move money into his ass. And not be questioned about it. That's exactly what I do. I don't think anybody's out there going to buy these damn things for the historical value or the future, you know, dividends I might get. A fuck no. They're trying to kiss his ass. So, you know, that's what I'm taking it as. A bunch of, and it's like I said, it's not 40,000 people out there doing it. No. That's some rich assholes out there making some big donations.
Oh, what are there? Five of them? So 40 by, so that's like 8,000 assholes.
There you go.
Who bought the whole set. And by the way, I got to go back to, you know, Roger mentioned Marion Berries. And Scott made an oblique reference. And then Jimmy chimed in. And this is cowbell worthy. Jimmy writes in and says, Marion Berries. Watch out for them. They be speeding. Oh, and we got to talking about liquor a little bit ago, and Arnold chimed in and sent me from Pennsylvania a quart imported from Scotland, VAT 69 gold, and a bottle of Seagram's 100 Pipers Scotch whiskey. Whoo, Arnold!
Damn.
That could hurt down, a girl.
Baby. Buckle down. Damn. Well, 'tis the season, Robin.
What
are you
it is?
Are you feeling Christmassy?
Actually, I'm feeling more Christmassy than I have in years because we've got two little ones in the house.
Well, there you go, baby.
It's going to be Junie's 6 month old, and it's going to be her first Christmas.
Oh, man.
So she probably, yeah. But it's also our 5 year old granddaughter's Christmas, and she is so excited. Oh, she's just thrilled, and she's looking at the packages, and oh my, oh, she's ready. She is absolutely ready. And so I'm hoping, I got my fingers crossed, there's that I only want one thing for Christmas. And that's the standing rib of beef to smoke out on the smoker.
Who's going to do that for you?
Well, I mean, you know.
They're going to do it. That's who's going
to
do it.
That's the whole idea. Christmas Day, I get to play around out by the smoker and put the probe thermometer in and watch that little son of a gun till it hits about 118 degrees and off she comes. And hoo-wee!
Well, I just came back. I assume you're talking about your traditional standing rib, literally.
Yes.
Standing rib.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then again, the fact of the matter is, meat being what meat is, we may have a standing rib of hamburger.
Yeah, we'll shape it just right. We're starting to get together an idea for getting together down here with some of the Blue Dots.
Oh.
One of our Blue Dots is moving down to Rockport down here. Randy Peterson, old Navy guy.
Yeah.
And
no Randy.
Yeah, and he's going to be moving down here. So Michael up in Kansas City and several other people. Are you familiar with Joe Garcia? Have you heard about him yet?
I don't know. Help me out.
Joe lives up the road about 14 miles from me. He's one of our Blue Dots. And me and him actually met at HEB at the store. And he walked over. Hey, aren't you that guy? And I said, no, I'm not that guy.
No, that guy's some other guy.
That guy's somebody other guy. No, he's a great guy. But one of his big hobbies is barbecue. And when I say barbecue, Joe's pit will feed over 200 people.
Oh, man.
Yeah, it's on wheels.
Oh, I've got pit mistress goosebumps just hearing that.
Yeah, and he's already got in the works of designing it, or he's trying to put together another one that will feed up to 500. So when
Lord of mercy.
Briskets or ribs and stuff. Yeah, he's serious about it.
John, I've never been to a Texas barbecue, an authentic Texas barbecue before. But is it like something out of the movie Giant with Rock Hudson and Elizabeth Taylor and who else was in that?
Oh,
do you remember that scene?
Tell me what you're talking about, HUD?
I did not see the movie. Ain't that
funny? No, Giant.
Oh, Giant, yeah.
Yeah, the George Stevens.
Got to jump in the Wayback Machine when Scott's talking.
Well, he was perfectly relevant. He was talking about Texas barbecue and the size and scope of
yes.
it.
Yes.
I've been to some pretty damn good sized barbecues.
You know?
Yeah, where one guy is sitting there cooking like, I don't know, 8 or 9 huge ass fucking briskets. You know, he's been sitting there ever since about yesterday at, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Daybreak. They take it pretty serious.
They dig a big pit somewhere in the fire, and this is going to be disgusting for people at dinner time, but brains. I don't know if they do that in today's world, but back in...
Not at my barbecue.
No,
no brains.
No brains. No brains. I ain't eating no tongue either.
Now, John... I'm sorry. I will fight you.
I was just joking. Don't eat anything out of the cow's mouth. You eat eggs every day. Comes out of chicken's ass. Are you shitting me?
Right.
No, tongue is good, baby.
Tongue is delicious. And yes. I have heard a rumor... So far, it's only a rumor, but I've heard a rumor over to the Wally World in MacArthur, West Virginia, which is near Beckley, that they actually stock oxtails. And if that rumor is true, well, it was about a year ago, just a little bit less than a year ago, that I got up and cooked for the first time. And I fixed an oxtail stew that Annette says to this day is the most delicious thing she's ever eaten in her life.
You know, I've never had oxtail, but it seems to me a while back ago I was at the store and I saw oxtail and I remember it just becoming, I went, oxtail, I didn't eat that. I went on to,
it's magnificent because there's so much going on in there. I mean, you season them with a little salt and pepper. And you get some oil just smoking hot in your stew pot or whatever on the stove top, and you sear it on sear the oxtails on all the sides, you pull them off and you let them rest, and then you add in like onions and celery and carrots, and you let them and you let them saute in that hot oil, and you put your oxtails back in and there's some Worcestershire and some wine and this and that, and
you
let it and you let it simmer low and slow, and what happens is the collagen in those oxtails dissolves, and it makes this just rich, beautiful stew, and the beef on the oxtail just absolutely falls apart. And well, that with some delicious. With some crusty French bread to sop with. Well, get out of town.
Crusty French bread.
I bet you HEB's got some good crusty French bread.
They do. They do occasionally. Occasionally. Not all the time. They shape it up like a wider part than I like. I like it like the French bread I used to remember when I was
with. Yeah, like a baguette.
You bet. Yeah. You could
baguette, you bet.
Fuckers. So
another one you might want to try is take the beef tongue and run it through the process of corned beef.
Mm. Oh, like with the salt and seasoning curing?
Salt and seasoning cured in the refrigerator for about a week, and then cook it like you would a corned beef, but it's corned tongue, and that's real tasty.
Oh, mercy, that sounds heavenly.
I wish I had the knack for cooking like y'all did.
Another thing you can do with the tongue is once you've trimmed it and peeled it and everything, you split it lengthwise, and you stuff it with crab meat and like some onions, scallions, and like some panko breadcrumbs, and you do the butcher's knot and you roast it roast it that way. Oh,
you got people out there listening to this shit getting all excited now.
Well, we haven't gone deep in the food porn in a while. But I might as well be talking about, I don't know, Ocetra caviar, because ain't nobody around here got no tongue.
Yeah, nope.
And that probably came out entirely wrong, but we'll just have to live with it.
I have it, I just can't even, it's not interesting, is it?
No time.
Life is hell. Have you made some good donations? Have the people let the spirit of the season come?
Well, we are.
Robin needs this stuff, baby.
We are on the air this evening because we got enough together last night to pay the internet bill, and so
I know
we're
feeling Robin.
Now we're on the way to trying to pay the $800 power bill.
Yeah. Well, I'm not that high, but mine starts with a 4, and it scares the shit out of me every time I get it. But y'all don't forget, that let the season come through in your heart, baby. Robin, this is how she makes her living. This is how she pays her bills, baby. This is it. So let that kindness come through. If you can only afford a few bucks would be well, well appreciated in this family.
And we've been in far worse shape. The goal right now is $495,
John. You've been worse than that. You've been way worse than that. But we don't want you having to worry about shit going into the season, baby. You know, so if anybody can help, if anybody can step up and fill that need, we appreciate it. We appreciate the shit out of it.
Yeah, my family Christmas gift this year is having electricity, water, and
mine is still having
internet.
My house.
Right. Yeah.
Up $400 on my fucking
Yeah, and a car.
I still got my house, so fuck you, I'm still here.
Yeah, I see. You know, this time of year is hard, John, because you see all those ads where, you know, these people are like, you know, the guy leads his wife out of the door and there's snow on the ground and it's all beautiful and there's a wreath on the door and candles in the window and she's got a blindfold on and you're hoping it's not going to get weird. And he leads her out and there's a great big old giant shitbox Canyonero SUV with a humongous red ribbon about it, and you're like, who does that?
I do it every fucking year. No, you don't? Come on, man, get with the program. Buy you one of them big ones, a big boat too. Don't get one of them little.
Yeah, I got. No, I need that. I need that third row rear seat, and we got youngins to haul around.
Mm-hmm. That ain't happening at my house either. Just like you, we're lucky to pay the bills. It's going to be a pretty slim Christmas, but it's going to be a joyous Christmas.
That's the thing. It is going to be a joyful Christmas.
It's going to be a happy Christmas. We have much to be happy about. There was a breakthrough on my street between neighbors, and I really am taking that as one of the biggest presents I got this year. is that breakthrough that I don't have to worry so much. You know,
that's beautiful.
It means a lot to me. It is. But yeah, we're going to have presents under the tree, but it's not going to be a spectacular Christmas, but it's going to be a good Christmas. Like you, we're paying the bills. Good. The lights are on. You know, I got gas in the car and food and groceries. So, you know, one day at a time, baby. That's all.
Yeah,
we
I
do.
Mean, there's not going to, you know, I'm not going to be getting a 3-carat blue white diamond solitaire or anything, but, you know.
Not happening, baby.
No.
Well, who knows? There could be somebody out there right now listening and just heard that sentence.
Our boy and I'm getting nothing for Christmas.
Oh yeah, you will. You'll get a lifted.
I'll get up bright and early, and the kids will have their Christmas, and then maybe Ferg and I will come back here into the studio and do our Christmas tradition of watching The Big Lebowski first thing Christmas morning. Yeah. No, my real hang up is
my dog doesn't buy me Christmas presents.
No shit. Mine either. Come here, I'm gonna kick you.
Now my hang-ups are the standing rib of beef and I would dearly love to be able to drive down to Charleston, go to the fresh seafood market down there, get some oysters, and make Christmas morning fried oysters and then Christmas evening oysters bienville. Oysters are a big part of the family tradition for both sides of my family here, because back in the day, John, I don't know if you know, I mean, you know, New Orleans, South Texas, oysters are oysters. But 100 years ago, the only time you saw oysters in this area was when it got down to freezing cold. And then the oysters could be put in barrels on ice, and they could be shipped in by rail. And
I'd hate to say, if I was up there in West Virginia and somebody's trying to serve me oysters, I would be looking at it going,
No. It's just a hop, skip, and a jump from the Chesapeake Bay.
Nowadays? Yeah.
Well, no,
mountain oysters.
No, probably get geography. Probably got them faster 100 years ago on a freight train than you get them now.
Now you get them in a jar at the grocery store. Come here, baby.
Mountain oysters.
You go, you want no, not mountain balls, oysters,
jingle
Steve.
Balls, jingle all
yeah,
the
quit
way.
That. No.
Gave me 5 new kittens for Christmas.
Aw.
Yes. I ain't even opened their eyes yet. They're over there in a box here in the office. 5 of them. I got 6 outside that are barely getting around.
You got? Are there the new ones? Is there a tortie in there anywhere?
No. These are all black, and there's 2 with a little bit of white on them. All my cats are black, or black and white. Period. They're all over the place out here.
Oh wow!
Got 3 acres, and that's all you see out here.
Well, we've got we've been looking outside. It's getting cold, so you know things are beginning to move around a little bit. Little possum's been visiting from time to time. And, you know, don't be hating, because I don't dislike them. I'm respectful, and I try to not scare them. We got the most adorable little skunk running around in the yard.
I don't scare off anything. Every evening, a raccoon comes up my stairs outside and comes up on the porch. I got cats laying all over the place. Raccoon walks right over to the cat food bowls and starts eating the leftover cat food. And the cats all just sit there and purr and look at them. You know, everybody, we like to think, we try to feed everybody.
Same with the possums.
Yes.
I love possums.
Yes. Oh, shit.
Oh, but that you know, we've opened the studio door here a couple of times and seen that little black with that little white stripe just kind of wiggling and waggling and waddling. I'm like, oh, hi, baby. There's closing the door now. Don't be afraid.
I seen on, it was either YouTube or TikTok, I don't know which one, a guy's got a pet, I'm sorry, losing my fucking mind. Not raccoon, but possum. What we just talked, he's got a pet possum. This thing's cute as shit.
Oh, possums are adorable.
Curls up with him and all this shit. Yeah. Yeah, they're not as nasty as people think they are.
No, they don't get rabies.
No.
They consume like 20 times their weight in ticks and fleas. I mean, that's good. That's good eating.
If you got dogs, huh?
That's good. That's good eating if you're a possum. Yes. And if you're real gentle, you can eventually get them to come up and not be afraid of you. And they're just as sweet as can be. And I'm like you. Bear. I will try to scare a bear away. And black bears is what we have here, and they're notoriously shy.
The only thing that will die around me is a spider on me.
Right.
Okay, if I see the spider, no problem.
Help you out the door.
Okay, let's get you out the door. If you're on my skin, I'm sorry.
black snakes live. Black snakes live. Copperheads die.
Yep, there you go. Certain things you just
But, John, I'll bet you've heard this.
Right.
Have you ever heard bobcats or wildcats getting it on?
Oh, shit.
Shit,
I don't have to wait too often. I mean, across the river from me is nothing. Okay, so we get bobcats. We get a lot of coyotes over there. We've had a mountain lion spotted over on that side.
When the bobcats and the wildcats get it on, it's one of the most terrifying things you've ever heard because
somebody's out there getting bloody murdered.
Yeah, it sounds like a woman in extremis.
Yes.
And we've got one across the road and up on the mountaintop, and I don't know how far he or she ranges. We'll call them they, non-binary. I think cats are kind of NB anyway.
Do you keep having an urge to call 911? I think there's some lady getting murdered out here.
It will raise up the short little hairs on the back of your neck. It will.
I would not move back into the city for anything.
Oh, I just mentioned my power bill a minute ago, and I got a note from Matt in San Francisco. Subject line, electric bill. Don't kill me, Robin. Oh, no. My PG&E bill this month was $5. Solar is a great thing. Solar remains my dream here, Matt. But on the other hand, Matt says, last week I paid property tax and the registration on three cars and the Airstream. Let's just say kissing thousands of dollars goodbye with nothing but a sticker to show for it's a hard pill to swallow.
But sure it's a pretty sticker.
Lovely, and probably sparkles and shit, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. It may be as sparkly as a Trump NFT. Here's what matters. Update. Husband is sleeping. Laundry is done. Dogs are fed. Puppies are fed. And I still have not contracted COVID-19. Knock wood.
What a wonderful world it is, baby.
Merry Christmas, Matt.
Merry Christmas, baby.
Indeed.
Outstanding.
But I've had a...
Can we ask for anything more in life than that? Really?
No. Contentment, happiness.
I mean, contentment, no matter what scale or what step ladder we are on this economic world, or you can find a reason. I tell people every day, put a smile on your face, and better yet, put a smile on somebody else's face.
I mean, I don't know what Christmas is like down at Myrtle Ardass. You know, I can hear Melanoma saying, "Oh, darling, you have gotten me." As a can of Krylon polyurethane for my coffin for me to sleep in tonight. And that's okay, but you know tradition. I come from a place where people were poor and made the best of hard situations, and like talking about those oysters. My grandfather did not cook. But every Christmas morning, he got up and he fried the oysters for his family. You know, his three sons and his two daughters. One of the boys wouldn't come home from the Second World War, but he would get up every Christmas morning and fry oysters. And the stockings, you know, they'd hang stockings, both sides of my family, and it was the same tradition. The stockings would have fresh oranges in them. And nuts, the walnuts and almonds and pecans and Brazil nuts to crack.
Oh, we always had nuts and stuff.
And
that's the simple joys of life, brother.
Yeah, it didn't happen the rest of the year.
That's the love that he was showing every day, you know.
Yeah.
And when they're you know, it's you know, heartache is the price that we pay for love. Because eventually, if you love somebody, that heartache's going to come, baby. You know it is.
Yeah.
And it's going to be devastating. You'll live through it. You'll get through it. But it ain't never going to go away.
No.
It's always going to be there.
And this is the time. And this is the time of year we think of the people who aren't with us.
That's exactly. I do.
And I, you know, I'm no Christian. And I don't know what happens when people die besides decomposition.
I have no idea.
But, you know, when we remember them, we keep a little core nugget of them alive, and that is what eternity is.
That's exactly the way. As long as somebody remembers you, as long as you remain a memory in somebody's heart, then you'll live forever, baby.
Yeah.
And that's what we just
and that's love.
That impression. So we do that.
Love. Memory is love, and memory and love equal eternity.
That's it, baby.
And so,
just what's going to come with it.
I mean, we talk about people who are 200 years dead.
Yeah. Some people compare themselves. Did you see his little speech? Greatest president ever. Greatest
oh, Jesus.
Greatest than Lincoln. Well, he's in love with himself. He's talking about love. So,
yeah. Oh, God. Oh, and by the way, you had harsh words for the consumption of brains, John Bridavo. Brother Deacon Asa said, fuck all y'all. Brains sautéed with onion and taters is fucking delicious.
Oh, come on, Asa.
Oh,
I was holding him up as a hero. There you go. You know.
Yeah, my grandfather.
I still think highly
of him. I don't eat innards. No innards.
Maybe that's not going to be so smart.
Oh, my grandfather Kincaid loved nothing more than scrambled brains and eggs.
Okay, I understand.
And I got to confess, sweetbreads are exquisite.
Oysters, so, you know, it's...
Well, see, that's the thing. If I get to get my bushel of oysters, some of them will be consumed raw. Some will be fried.
I prefer to shuck mine right out of that shell, baby.
Yep.
Scrapple's the closest I've come to eating innards. That's it.
I worked for a little while on an oyster boat one summer.
Ooh.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Lunchtime was just a bottle of Tabasco and a knife.
Mountain oysters?
No, not mountain oysters. Lay off.
Jingle balls.
That's twice.
Oh, are you shitting me? Testicles. My son danced. He said something about the guy, the Liver King, or something on TikTok, or this guy eating nothing but raw meat and testicles. And I didn't believe it. My son goes, pulls up his fucking TikTok or whatever the fuck it is, YouTube or whatever, Liver King, and there's this big hunky muscle guy, and that's all he's fucking eating, swearing up and down. He never used steroids all his life. The reason he's in the news is because they caught him using a whole bunch of steroids. But he's got a body like you wouldn't fucking believe, but he sits there and eats some testicles raw. Just gross. What can I say?
By the way, I mentioned
entertainment around.
I mentioned talking about people 200 years gone. Matt in San Francisco said, I wish 45 was 200 years dead. That's my kind of Christmas miracle.
There you go. Don't give up, it ain't Christmas yet. Don't give up, it can happen.
As to scrambled brains and eggs, he would have loved my mother, Matt says.
I just don't know if I can go there. Brains, I look at him and go, that's right. How much is that ember meat? It's like, it kind of looks the same, but I know where that is.
No,
I don't know. We all have little particular idiotic.
Oh, come on, Steve. You eat that. Come on. You eat fried chicken.
I've ate scrapple.
No, fried chicken livers. Come on. You've had fried chicken livers.
I spent a lot of time in Southeast Asia. I'm sure I ate a whole lot of shit. As long as I didn't know what I was eating, I was good to go.
Right, yeah.
There you go.
Or potted meat. You're eating innards if you eat that.
No. See, I'll eat lots of stuff. But nope, no potted meat. Nope, ain't gonna happen. Mm-mm. No, sorry. Forget it.
Cold beans and motherfuckers. You'll eat anything out of a can if you're hungry. Come on.
True enough, yeah.
I guess. I can't throw
stones. But we don't want to happen to be hungry.
I'm sure you have a dog kebab in Southeast Asia, John.
Huh? Vienna sausages, too.
A dog kebab.
Yes, I'm sure we ate quite a few, Spark. Quite popular over there, buddy. You know, in the middle of the night when you're out drinking, does it really fucking matter what's on that stick?
If it's fried and got salt on it,
There you go.
Yeah, throw some hot sauce at it.
Yeah.
Knock it down.
There you go. Get on with your business.
Well, we've run a little bit over time, but I'm glad we did, and we've touched on a few semi-serious topics this evening, but sometimes Fridays are just sort of for relaxing. And
Robin, I gotta ask something.
Okay.
Did you say you had an $800 electric bill?
Yes, sir.
God damn! How did that happen?
So and please, your if house, you're, again, if
because the house is old and drafty.
Because Reddy Kilowatt is his friend.
Hers. Thank you.
I'm paying 24 cents a kilowatt.
No, but so the, but what it, what's going on? We don't have a furnace. So everywhere we want there to be any warmth, and we've got a six-month-old in the house, that means we keep the house warm, and we keep the house
for nothing.
No, we keep that, and we keep the house warm with space heaters.
No, God.
Space heater in the bathroom. Space heater in the bedroom. Space
heater. Total up the wattage of each heater.
Yeah. Right, and they're all 1,500 watts. They're all max.
That's like running the emergency electric heater on your heat pump, then.
Yeah,
I get it. Okay.
And on top of that, the water heater's electric, the dryer is electric, the stove is electric, the fridge is electric.
Your show is electric.
The show is electric.
Everything's electric.
The well pump's electric.
I'm glad I heard that about the solar panels, because I am in the process right now of talking to somebody about getting solar panels, a program down here in Texas to get your house switched over to solar.
No.
And I'm exploring.
We will celebrate. We will celebrate your freedom, John Bredevo.
I would love to, because
my
bill.
What's your house facing, John?
Well, my house would. You couldn't put a solar panel on top of my house because my house is surrounded by huge oak trees and there's just nothing. But I do have about a little less than an acre out in front that is full sunshine all day long. Part of one of the little pastures out there, I put Jenny in. I could put panels out there on frames and it'd soak up the sun all day long. I don't know. I just now getting, I have to go through a process because, electric companies down here in Texas, it's some program. But mine recently, because I belong to a co-op, then there's a special thing you have to go through to get the solar adjustment. But I'm gonna explore it and check it out and see if if I can do it. I will, because it would just be better. I like the thought of when the power goes out, I still got power. That's the big thing, is storms come down here and you lose power for a long time. Be nice to have.
Oh yeah.
So, but I'm exploring.
Did you sell off
the
generator?
What's that?
Did you sell off that generator?
Oh, hell no. It's sitting on my front porch, baby, right by the window, in case I need that sucker. Yeah, no, I keep that thing handy as hell. So thankful to have it. I ain't never letting that thing out of my sight.
I told you how to hook it up.
Yep, you sent me the cord, too. And I still have it right there, too.
I sent you the cord.
Huh?
Told you how to hook it up.
Yep. Ready to go, rock and roll. If I lose power, that it's going to be sustained for a while. Yeah, I'll switch that thing right over to the generator, and we'll still be able to use the plugs in the house and stuff. So yeah, anybody nowadays with shit storms going all over the place, whether it be wet or snow, losing power around here is increasing. And you throw in nut jobs with guns, and boy, how to shit, you never know. But anyway, Robin, I hope you have the best of Christmases, baby.
The whole
family enjoys the best Christmas that could possibly be held in your hearts, and I appreciate you so much.
Well, we will be here all next week. Friday is the 23rd, so that means Christmas Eve and Christmas Day fall on a Saturday and a Sunday, so there shouldn't be any interruptions to the broadcast whatsoever.
Yeah, except I usually do a live show on Sunday, which is Christmas. Well,
that's true. You going to work on Christmas?
I probably will. There's a lot in our family that, if I don't have any major thing going on in Christmas,
same reason I do Thanksgivings. Well,
yeah, we have family members that aren't going to have a big family around, maybe.
Right.
And everybody deserves that.
Well, I will. I'll try to find time on Christmas night to join in.
Well, come by anytime. Anytime.
Well, thank you. And
I got a new post office box today.
Post office box rents due yeah. too. I just forgot about that.
Well, I wish I could join you, John, but I've been banned.
I didn't do that, Sparky.
We'll leave that for another day. And of course, let's see, the 30. Yeah, huh. The 31st of December will, of course, be 2 years, 2 years since my coming out in this community.
2 years.
And that'll be really special, but that's on a Saturday. So maybe
what a ride. You know, I'm lucky to consider myself to be along that journey with you. Not.
Oh, it's been a joy having you on the journey, John.
Just being, you know, in that loop of knowledge. You know,
and you know, so that'll be 2 years, and we'll see what year three does. 23 and me.
It's like fine wine, baby. It just keeps getting better.
I hope so. It's been very good so far. It's had its hurdles, and every now and then, you know, I get some shitty remarks from somebody that decides to email the program. But all in all,
it's good.
Well,
I am going to have a good day tomorrow.
Yeah, there's a lot to be said for not hating yourself.
My wife's birthday tomorrow, so I'm going
to. Oh, happy birthday to Miss Marcia.
I will indeed let her know you said that.
Send her our love, please.
I will indeed. I think she's going to be 38 this year.
Really?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have had her for a day over 29.
She might be listening right now, so yeah, I'm trying to score points here, buddy. Come on.
Yeah, 29. I thought she was 29.
Yeah, she looks it.
Trying to help
she's
here.
Loving my life.
I know she is. And you're both lucky to have each other.
Yes, I'm lucky. Damn lucky. I know it every day.
Well, have a wonderful weekend. And everybody, thank you so much for your conversational brilliance and sparkling wit. By the way, on the way out the door, a note from Billable Rick. Cowbell for Scotty. I nominate Scotty for a cowbell for his generally upbeat attitude and indomitable spirit and in keeping his sense of humor despite all of the bullshit that he's been going through. Continue your recovery, buddy. We're all rooting for you, and we certainly, certainly are. So thanks, everybody. Thanks to our Patreon and PayPal subscribers. Thanks to our a la carte contributors. None of this would happen without all of you. Thanks to each and every one of you who share your precious finite time engaging in the program in whatsoever manner you might choose. Please, wherever you listen to the program, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, hit the love button, whatever positive affirmation button they've got, please hit it. So the algorithms will see us, and maybe more people will join in this incredibly unique, long-running conversation. Thanks to our all-volunteer staff. Thank you to Sparky and Roger and Steve in the chat room and in the old holler tree. Thank you to our news ninjas. Thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, headon.live. Remember, brand new Fresh Malloy on the way. 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, all time zones in between in the great globe round, and whatever time, well, you know. But the best place to listen to the first run of Malloy is headon.live, because, among other things, no damn commercials. How about that? Thank you, John Fox in Australia. Thank you, Ben Birch, WhiteRoseSociety.org. Thanks to the hardest working, bravest people I know, the folks at Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net, 20-plus years at the forefront of the struggle for human rights and environmental justice in Appalachia, and a proud union shop. Please get your booster, get your flu shot. Wipe down your surfaces, help stop the spread of RSV. Wear your mask when you're in big crowds, or especially if you're among the great maggot unvaxxed and unwashed. Wash your hands, don't touch your face, use your hand sanitizer. Take it everywhere you go. Keep your social distance, like Paul from Parts Unknown says. And of course, if somebody comes burbling toward you down the street saying, "No, really, I'm better than Washington and Lincoln combined," avoid that maximum maggot like the plague. Because he is. And always, 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 Gina, it's all for you. Have a great weekend, everybody. Later.